talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Excuse me. I would like to speak first.
I think you just did.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I, for one, am going to rent Finding Nemo.
Ooh, we don't carry cartoons. But if you want a film about the ocean, we have a documentary about the brutality of Japan's whaling industry. It's called Tears of My Blowhole, and it's nauseating.
Anything can be a slam poem if you say it like this. Pointless.
Crazy girl.
Quick question. Have you ever watched the movie Steven Seagal before, Hard to Kill, back in 1990?
No.
And are you a fan of Steven Seagal?
Not really. No.
He doesn't play a lot of movies these days, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Because I know that back in the 80s and 90s, he was pretty active, man.
I'll take your word for it.
Thank you very much.
What are you even talking about right now?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You're a gay racist.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I find that offensive.
Roll another one.
I swear it's like I work with toddlers.
Just like the other one.
I'll probably have his picture there with a sign.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What did you do?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Yes, sir.
It's our time
yes,
to shine.
Yes, sir. What you talking about, honky?
Roll another one.
Fridays are for suckers.
Just like the other one.
Bing, bing, bing.
Blip, blip.
This one seems to be about to end.
Hell. No.
I don't have another cent.
Funny that you say that, Allie, because that was not the case.
I have a boner!
Just pass it around.
Are you in a fog of a schedule right now?
What even? God!
Just pass it on down.
And now.
The customers love Kevin. I think it's because he's a good listener. Most words are new to him, so it's all still fascinating.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBeach Show. It is Friday, the very last day of July, the 31st.
What's up, you guys? What's going on?
You know, living the dream.
It's happening.
Just excited for August. New month. New challenges.
I hear Fridays are for suckers, though.
I hear that, too.
Rodney did say that.
I don't know
that.
What to do about that.
Did you have more rain yesterday?
I didn't see any.
There was, video, the hail and everything up in, Acton, up that way, Palmdale.
Yeah.
That was some Midwest style weather.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy stuff.
We're supposed to be getting flooding and high humidity and heavy rain. And
it's the end of the world if you watch the TV news.
It is end times.
So. Sure.
Thanks, Al Gore. You know, I was surprised. I saw pictures yesterday, and I don't know exactly where it was, but it was somewhere up in that area where hail was falling. And this sounds like a dumb question. I haven't driven in a lot of hail, but is hail a thing you're not supposed to drive in? Is it something that can break a window or damage your car?
I don't think it's usually that big. I think it's usually much smaller.
That's what I thought too, but all of these cars were stopped under an overpass. Like they weren't driving forward on the road. They just stopped because it was hailing. And I thought that's a weird collective mindset that everybody would agree to that. Isn't it?
Yeah.
That is weird.
I mean, I would think there would be somebody who'd be, five cars back who's not under the overpass who would be like, hey,
I'd like to drive forward.
I'm stuck out here.
Yeah. It's just, I don't think I'd ever seen that before. People refusing to drive because it was hailing. So, I don't know. It's just weird.
This would be something else to that story. There's no way everybody like hand signaled each other like, whoa, we need to slow it down.
Yeah, I mean, they stopped as if, the freeway was buckled or something like that. They couldn't go forward. It looked like it was fine. It was just hailing, and nobody wanted to drive in it. So if anybody knows anything about that,
It's weird because we're so good at driving in rain.
That's true.
You would think we'd know how to do that.
That's true. Ugh. Speaking of traveling, here's a story to get us started. Have you guys ever lost a phone? I don't think I ever have lost one. I've broken a couple, but I've never lost one. How about you, Kevin?
Well, it'll surprise you to know that I have.
What?
Yeah. What? Mm-hmm. What were the circumstances under you, and you losing
please.
Phone?
Like,
I mean, did you know where it was?
Once was in Vegas.
Okay.
And I had no idea where it was.
And that was one of those deals where you, in your mind, backtracked your steps and mm-hmm. realized I've been too many places and there's no chance I'll ever find it again.
Yep.
Okay.
And a couple of times here, maybe two times.
Here,
not that
meaning
much.
At work or
in
home?
L.A. You know,
oh, just somewhere know. Throughout the day, you get home and you go, oh, I don't know.
If I knew the answer to all of these questions, it wouldn't be lost.
That's a good point.
Well, I thought maybe you knew more narrowed down where you lost it. Have you ever used the Find My iPhone feature?
I've not.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I have it on my current phone, but I haven't used it before. Why is it awesome?
Because you can find your phone.
Hey, that's why it's awesome.
Yeah, you have an idea of where it is. Where to start going to look for it.
That would probably help.
Wichita Falls, Texas is where this story is datelined from yesterday. There's a man named Ben Wilson who was flying in a private plane. He's the owner of Gas Corps of America. He was on his way from Houston back home to Wichita Falls when there was a pressure change in the airplane. And it caused a door latch on the passenger side to give way by about 3 inches. In other words, the door just opened a little bit.
Oh.
By the way, is anyone answering any of these phones that are calling? Somebody may have a hail answer for us.
I don't think there's anyone out there.
All right.
Yeah.
So the pressure popped, and his newspaper, which was down between his seat and the wall, with his phone inside of it, flew out through that 3 inches.
Wow.
What are the
chances?
Phone,
what are the chances, exactly? His phone was gone. He knew the newspaper had gone out. He didn't realize his phone was in it until he landed in Wichita Falls and started looking for his phone and then thought, wow, that's weird. I had it. What happened? He used his Find My iPhone app and learned that the phone was still alive. He was able to narrow it down to just outside Joplin, Texas, in rural Jack County. In other words, the phone had fallen out of the plane in flight and was still sending a signal. He used a satellite image and a map and set out to find the missing cell phone, found his way down a ranch road, went over a fence into a field with a donkey, and there was his phone in one piece, scratched a bit on the corners, but still working.
Did he bring the donkey or was the donkey in the field?
That's a great question because it sounded like the donkey and he were going
over
the fence.
Right, Kevin?
That would have been amazing.
That was awesome.
He gives the donkey credit for helping him find the phone for some reason and gave him a ginger snap. But he was...
What?
That was a joke, right?
Nope. The man said he was surprised that the phone was still in good shape. He said he was happy about the durable Mophie battery charger case, which we've seen. We've had those
sure.
at K-Rock. Yeah, they protect your phone. Mm-hmm. It hit the corners a bit, but it's just fine.
Wow.
So it fell almost 10,000 feet. Why isn't this guy and this phone in a commercial for Mophie, right?
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's pretty impressive that it would still be working. I mean, wouldn't you just assume that any kind of electronics that falls from that distance is just going to be
if it falls out of an airplane, I don't even think I'd try.
No.
Right. You go, well, I'll never see that phone again. So anyway, good day for Mr. Wilson there. So
good day for that dude.
Happy ending for that story, right?
And the donkey.
And the donkey as well.
The donkey got a ginger snap.
That's
so
right.
It's a win-win.
That's the most important part. That's a bizarre story. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach, shall we?
You, like, are definitely, you're the real thing that a lot of people say. So do you think if you weren't, I mean, if you were less fake, do you think you would be or you could or you have a desire to?
That's a great question. Peyton Reed will be on the show today. He is the director of Ant-Man. We also have Michael Showalter, who's going to be in the studio talking about Wet Hot American Summer, First Day of Camp, which comes out on Netflix today. Very excited about that. We have Stupid Things That You Believed as a Kid. And we're going to start with Allie, as she was a pretty dumb child.
Mm-hmm. Not as bad as Beer Mug, but
I never really grew out of it either, by the way.
I can hear you.
Oh.
I don't know that not as bad as Beer Mug is.
I was going to say it's not much of
help.
A thing to aspire to.
It's Friday. We got the movie beat, and we're also going to talk about the King of Mexico and his ridiculously terrible weekend plans.
Oh.
I mean, it's going to be an awful weekend for
him. Like
that's hurtful,
yes.
By the way.
He makes bad decisions.
He's coming to visit me. You know that, right?
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Christopher writes in, if it starts to hail when you're driving, it's best to pull over if you can and get under something. You never know how big the hail is going to get. It can damage your car really bad. Also, depending on how hard it's coming down, even if it's pea size, it will dimple your car. So everyone tries to get under shelter. Ralph, did you know about this?
Yeah, I was screaming at my phone as my, nah. my radio as I drove in this morning.
Did that help us?
What's that?
Did that help us?
No, it did not really.
I have not driven in a lot of hail situations, and when I have, it had never occurred to me to hide, basically, to take the car out of the weather.
No, it will dimple the crap out of your car. It's like driving through pebbles. If rocks started falling from the sky, you would probably try to get under something if you could.
I guess it does make sense. I guess most people are just smarter than I am. I guess that's my takeaway from this situation. All right, it's 5:54 Friday morning. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, I guess it was bound to happen. Let's pour out a little something from our 40s for Knock Knock Live. A little something for our homies. Inexplicably, I don't know how they could have canceled this show. It was doing... Oh, wait a minute. It was the poorest premiere for a Fox television show in the history of Fox television.
The better question is, how did it make week two?
Second episode? Well, they had Justin Bieber lined up.
So they thought,
and here we go. This will jettison us from last place to next to last place. But sadly, that didn't happen. Ratings were even less spectacular for the second show than the first. And so Fox announced yesterday they have pulled Knock Knock Live from its schedule after just two airings.
That was a terrible show.
Hold on a second.
How
can you say that? First of all, they knocked on people's doors.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh. And it was live.
Right.
Sure.
It's everything they promised us.
They delivered.
It was knock, then another knock.
But I'm saying, is there...
And then it was live.
Is there no meeting where people go, okay, explain that further to me. How's that going to work? That doesn't happen?
Well, Ryan, we will knock first and then repeat that. And then, but while we're knocking, the whole thing will be captured via satellite and beamed live into people's homes.
What else do you need to know, Kevin? Jesus, do we have to break it down even further for you?
What could be more exciting than not one, but two knocks live?
And Ryan Seacrest said this was the most fun he's ever had.
This is
TV.
The greatest show I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
Thanks to the people at Home Depot for providing all those nails. We just gave to that couple. It was like a freaking two-hour commercial. Everything was sponsored by something. Every dime they gave away had some corporate connection to it. Hey, thanks to the good people at Arby's for providing that bun we just ate that sandwich on.
And it was so weird because the person would open the door and then the TV show would say, here's a new car.
Right.
Okay, bye. And then they'd go down to the next house. And give them a treehouse. I mean, it was just the weirdest collection of figs.
Madness.
Then they threw celebrities at it. I don't know how that helped.
Oh, yeah.
It was just insanity from the beginning.
Wait, you didn't know that we were out here in your driveway with these other 100 people in your front yard? You're just surprised that we're at the door?
Knock Knock is live. It's real, people. Believe it.
Wait, all your family is in the living room sitting together all dressed up and made up? How fortunate we are to have caught you at a good time.
Horrible, horrible, horrible show.
I'm going to miss it. Got to be honest.
Well, if they come out with a box set with the unreleased episodes, I know I'm buying it.
The second show went down by 100,000 people in the ratings. And the first show was barely watched.
The first show was the lowest in the history of Fox, right?
Yeah, the lowest premiere in the history of Fox, yeah.
Wow.
So even Bieber couldn't help. It was, and Bieber, I have to admit, I love watching Seacrest go down in flames in the middle of a train wreck. So I watched a little of the second episode, and Bieber's big charity was he gave a girl a quinceañero because she was sick and missed her own quinceañero.
Okay. Well, how old was she then?
40.
Okay. Strange, but okay.
I think she was like 15 and a half, Kevin. I think she just missed it.
All right.
I think they held on to that grudge for a good 13, 14 years.
Oh, you're making fun of me for asking that question about Knock Live?
Yes, I am.
Well, please. Because it was about a quinceañera. I think that was Ralph's point.
I think that was the point.
historically, that's right around 15.
Right.
But I want Kevin to come up with a show.
But she missed it because she was sick.
Question lies.
She couldn't have been 18 and have been like a charity thing. And they go, hey, we heard about this. Hey, sorry.
But how far do you think someone would go back to get their quinceanera?
This is Knock Knock Live.
Yeah, but you're Kevin Live.
How dare you.
I want to watch Kevin Live.
How?
That's a great
I would watch
idea
that as well.
No! Speaking of television, Jose Canseco has announced he is firmly on the side of Caitlyn Jenner. And after much soul-searching, he's decided to support Caitlyn Jenner and her transition by living as a woman for 1 week to show his support for her. He's going to dress as a woman, wear makeup, and okay. He will dress up and live as a woman to show his support for Caitlyn Jenner for a week. I'm talking about full everything, he said. And it'll be on my internet show called Spend a Day with Jose.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, so apparently he's not as altruistic as he may lead us to believe.
Well, that sounds like a good show.
With an internet show like One Day with Jose, maybe Fox would be interested in... Put that on. See if
they got a slot open.
See if they can beat their record. See if they can get less people to watch television. I don't know. Kevin Live. I might pitch that over at Fox today.
Be a good show.
How come to see the screen on the phone at the baseball game? It's just Kevin asking questions
question.
About just life. Randomly. He just knocks on your door and asks you a question. Today's celebrity birthdays. Shark Tank's Mark Cuban, also the president of these United States.
In Sharknado 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pause.
He was a badass president, by the way.
Hell to the yeah.
I mean, most of his Secret Service guys went down in that shark attack, yet he was still out there just getting it done, man.
Not Cubes.
I think we elected the right guy that time.
I did, too. He was 57. Speaking of TV presidents, did you see Donald Trump's latest press conference in Scotland?
I did not know.
He's there for they're having a big golf event on his golf course he owns there in Scotland.
So who did he insult in this one?
Nobody, as far as I could tell. But he said he is gearing up for the debates. The first GOP debate is coming up.
Can't wait for that.
And I just started to laugh out loud as I watched the coverage of CNN. Him saying, I'm just going to be me. You can't. I'm just going to be the Donald. That's all. I was like, that's all we ask, the Donald. Mm-hmm. Just go be you.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
Have we ever elected a president before who refers to himself in the third person?
I don't believe so.
Not that we're aware of.
I think you should vote for the bill. I don't think Clinton ever said that. I can't remember. Wesley Snipes, 53 years old today. J.K. Rowling, of course, mama of that guy with the lightning bolt on his head. Harry Potter, 50 years old today. Dean Cain, Superman. He's 49. Coldplay drummer Will Champion is 37. He should be a superhero, too. Forget Dean Cain. Will Champion. BJ Novak, actor and writer, is 36. Avenged Sevenfold singer M. Shadows is 34 years old today. Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family. He's 17. Can you believe he's 17?
Wow.
Yeah, little Manny. Manny's 17 years old. And Michael Bradley, they're telling me, plays a game called soccer.
Soccer, yes.
His birthday as well today. Who does he play for? The Connecticut Razor Blades?
He plays for the U.S.
Ah, the U.S.
First of all. USA?
U.S. Eagles?
The United States of America?
Do they have a team?
The national team?
The Nationals?
Not sure where he plays in MLS. Maybe Montreal? Toronto? I don't know.
Anyway, he's 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What time are you going to see Mission Impossible today, Kevin?
11 o'clock. And then 1:30 and 4.
Ralph will talk about that and all the other films opening up this weekend with the Movie Beat coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, very excited later on today, Michael Showalter is going to be here, co-creator and one of the stars of Wet Hot American Summer, available now on Netflix. Our man Dave, by the way, Dave's already started watching it.
Yeah.
Dave waited till midnight last night when the thing went live.
Love it. Dave is bad decision guy. That's what we know about Dave. He Obviously. Makes all bad decisions.
We took him as a good decision. I did research for you guys. I checked out the first two episodes.
Yeah, you did that late. For us, Dave. For us. I'm sure you're going to have lots of great interview questions to pass along to us as a result of you watching TV.
Here's Dave's weekend plans. I'm going to lay out the plans for you,
okay.
And then I'm going to add two really bad wrinkles.
All right. Okay? Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Flying to Seattle today to see Bean.
Sounds awesome.
Okay.
Spending the night.
Sure.
Saturday, driving across the Canadian border into Vancouver.
Nice.
So that they can see Tadoff Swindler.
Nice. Yes!
Saturday night in concert. Uh-huh. Then, not spending the night, but driving back to Seattle after the concert.
How long is that?
About 3 hours.
Ooh.
Then, flying back on Sunday. So, that's his original plan.
Okay.
Now, we can argue about Taylor Swift all day long.
Yeah.
But you'll lose that argument because he's an American treasure.
Right. Sure. But the wrinkles, and this is where I'm like, Dave, can't you pull yourself out of this situation? Like, this is starting to get bad. One of them is, hey, King. How would you like to, we have an opportunity for you. You should... What would you think of sleeping outside? And I was just sitting in a corner going, what conversation is happening right now? So Dave's going up to Bean's house.
Okay.
Bean apparently doesn't have an extra bedroom for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's putting Dave outside.
In a room?
No. Outside of the rooms in the open.
Well, I mean, he gets a doggy bed like the rest of the pets. Look, here's the thing, you guys.
So I'm thinking this is already a terrible plan. When Bean pulls the, hey, how about if you sleep outside, that's your out.
Listen, Kevin, it actually kind of works out great for me. Because, listen, I love Seattle. I love the outdoors. I hate camping.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what's great? Being outdoors in a bed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, uh-huh. That sounds good.
Until
that sounds
you want to go inside and the door's locked.
Well, there's that.
But here's the thing, you guys. America, the entire country of America is on fire right now. I don't know if you've seen a national weather map, but 35 states are above 90 degrees right now. We're living on the planet Mercury right now. It's miserable. It's so hot.
Oh, so you're doing Dave a favor.
Yes, he's going to be the most comfortable person in the house because he's sleeping outside where it's a little bit cooler than those of us who are sleeping inside where it's boiling.
Yeah, man, you don't know.
Where do the dogs sleep, Bean?
They're going to sleep outside with Dave.
Outside with Dave.
Absolutely.
Is this new for them?
Cuddles for Dave. Yeah.
They slept outside with Donna last night because it was when we went to bed last night, it was still 80-something degrees.
This is Bean going, hey, yeah, my wife slept outside, so it's got to be good for you.
Dude. Is she going to sleep outside tonight?
It's I don't know if I trust you with her, Dave, but it's just, look, there's nothing nefarious about this. It's not insulting. It's too freaking hot. If you can sleep outside, you should sleep outside.
Oh, is that where you're going to be sleeping then, Bean?
Oh, not me. I like my bed. Yeah. I'm going to sleep in my bed.
But about that?
I'm just saying.
So it's better for everybody else, but not
See?
You.
Point for Dave. All right.
All right, so Dave's sleeping outside. Okay, so that's...
Point for Dave. Yeah, got it.
Yeah. So then, yesterday, Bean says, Dave... Dave, do we have any what plans do we have for Saturday? Saturday or Sunday, Bean?
Saturday.
Saturday, lunchtime. And Dave's like, I don't really have any plans. And Bean goes, good. Hey, we're going to have lunch with a radio friend of mine that I talk to about Pluto a lot. And that's when I looked at Dave and I was like, pull the ripcord, dude. This is going to be a nightmare. Bean and you having lunch with a radio guy talking about Pluto after sleeping outside.
Sounds like a dream.
Dude, look, get out.
Listen.
He's on the radio in Vancouver. We're going to be in Vancouver. Doesn't it make sense if you've got a friend in a city that you try to get together? If you have time?
I think your selling point, though, was I talked to him about Pluto a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe leave that out. That was, just say, I've got a friend in Vancouver. Let's meet up with him.
The lead was he talks to him about
Pluto. It was the lead.
So basically that means it's the only thing they're going to talk
they
about.
They could talk about space all they want, man. Vancouver has these special cafes where my head will be in space.
You're going to be high, aren't you?
Yes, I
that's
am.
What I'm getting at.
So that's what it is. They can talk about Pluto. They can talk about Mercury.
You're
going
to be high because it's the only way to get through this weekend, right?
And I don't even smoke weed or do any of that, but
I'll
try it out, you know.
Dave can put up with anything as long as he's high enough. That's what we're learning.
Oh, that's for sure, yeah.
So point for Dave. This sounds like a good weekend.
Friday means new movies in theaters. Ralph Garman is the man to tell you what to go see. Time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Fascinating batch of films this weekend.
Can't promise they're all good, but I can promise you they're all interesting. Big weekend for documentaries, by the way. First off, there's a documentary called That Sugar Film, which is from Damon Gameau. He has a baby on the way when he starts this film, and so he wants to take a look at the effect of diet on our bodies and the fact that America is getting sicker and sicker each and every year, and that sugar, in many forms, is being blamed by a lot of scientists as for the reason why. So what he does is he starts what he calls the Kevin diet. No, he doesn't call it the Kevin diet at all. It's a high sugar diet. He lives his life on a high sugar diet.
It's the diet of champions.
And he has a very healthy body at the outset, at the beginning of this documentary. And then you just watch him dissolve into Kevin-ness. Not Kevin-ness, into a high sugar diet and the effect that it has on his body. So fascinating.
So this is Super Size Me, kind of, a little bit.
Kind of, but more based on sugar.
Right.
And around that sugar. It looks to be not nearly as serious as you might think. Very funny, entertaining film as well.
Don't be so boring.
It's not boring at all. Also, in terms of documentaries, Listen to Me, Marlon.
The Wayans movie?
No, not that Marlon.
Oh.
This is a documentary about one of the greatest actors of this or any era, Marlon Brando. He stars in a film that utilizes hundreds of hours of audio that Marlon himself recorded about the course of his life, over his life, and it tells his story in his own words.
Here's you are all going to die tonight.
No, I don't think Marlon's going to kill anybody. He's gone.
Oh.
But here's some clips from the trailer of Listen to Me, Marlon.
Since I don't do anything else well, I might as well put all my energies into being as good an actor as I can.
You bring part of yourself to every character, but some parts are closer to us than others.
When what you are is unwanted, then you look for an identity that will be acceptable.
You are the memories.
Everybody feels like they're a failure. Everybody feels they could have been a contender.
I want to see this now! Marlon Brando, fascinating guy, and this looked to be a really interesting film. Another documentary this weekend is a Lego Brickumentary. Oh, Lego people, how you love your wordplay. Boy, you know, Lego nerds are nerds among nerds.
Yeah.
And these Lego people, boy, they sure love their little plastic blocks. They get their blocks off.
They're very, very happy with the little plastic
they
blocks.
They sure are. This documentary looks at the global culture and appeal of Lego building block toys. It is a multi-million dollar business and, of course, spawned popular films. And, boy, Lego people love some Legos. they would like to just have Legos in every orifice if they could.
Yep.
Here's some clips from the trailer of a Lego Brickumentary.
What started as a Danish endeavor in 1916 became a global phenomenon.
Would it really capture the imagination? Would it really capture the imagination?
Remix!
Would it really capture the imagination?
Nice. Lego in the zone!
Wow.
Yeah.
We have a machine that freezes, and it's like, hell no, I'm not going to even like play that clip.
Lego became... Lego became... Lego became... That's going to be a dance hit.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
So. Can we skip that one?
I think it's Legos. Of course we can skip it.
I'm saying
Hey, freaking Lego people, go see that if you're so freaking interested in Legos.
The machine will not allow it to play that.
Legos.
I'm being told our little friend Lightning is
sure.
So excited about going to see this movie.
You know, they're Legos. They're a little piece of plastic that is snapped together and you make a house. All right? Get over it. Legos. God damn it.
I'm watching that goddamn sugar documentary before I'm watching Legos.
Well, you should watch the sugar documentary.
Nah,
you need
that.
An intervention.
People,
you need a sugar intervention. You have people.
The only
at
thing
home,
I need more is sugar.
You have no idea how this guy eats on a regular basis. After our meetings, he'll go get a fistful of Jolly Ranchers and just start packing them into his mouth. Like, eat them like they're Legos.
How are you long and lean with what we see enter your body?
Yeah, it's just a freak of nature. He's a freak of nature.
Lucky genes.
Yeah.
My dad was skinny.
It's genetics.
And I'm also just a workout monster.
No, you're not. No. And you're like, oop, time for more watermelon Jolly Ranchers. And like every day, I think you eat like a half a dozen Jolly Ranchers just at the end of the show. You just have to have that with sugar.
Did I go to the restaurant BJ's last night at 9 p.m. just for a Pizookie?
Oh, what kind?
Chocolate chip.
The best.
Extra ice cream.
Oh, what's a Pizookie?
What?
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, what is it?
It's just,
is it like a sundae or something?
It's a huge pizza cookie, hence Pizookie.
Oh, okay,
and then they
okay.
put ice cream on
the
top.
Pretty good.
9 o'clock last night, that's what you're eating.
Yep.
I need a little snack just to give me a little energy before bed.
Thank you, Ralph.
Pizookie. Can you put Jolly Ranchers on the Pizookie? You're a child. Freak of nature. Did we talk about Legos?
Yeah,
he covered it.
Lego. And the machine said nope.
Now, how about this movie, End of the Tour? Boy, is this getting raves. Jason Segel in a serious role playing novelist David Foster Wallace, who is, by all accounts, one of the greatest writers of our generation. Took his own life from depression at the age of 46. He was interviewed by a Rolling Stone reporter named David Lipsky, and this 5-day interview, this time they spent together, has been fictionalized into this film called The End of the Tour. Jesse Eisenberg plays the Rolling Stone reporter. Anna Chomsky is also in this film. Mamie Gummer. Great cast. Getting great, great reviews. Here are some clips of the trailer for The End of the Tour.
Hey, isn't it reassuring to have a lot of people read you?
I think if the book is about anything,
yeah,
it's about the question of why.
If they're responding to your work and your work is really personal, then reading you is another way of meeting you, isn't that right?
That's so good.
Thank you.
I treasure my regular guyness.
You don't crack open a 1,000-page book because you heard the author is a regular guy. You do it because he's brilliant.
What is with you?
What is with you?
I'm not so sure you want to be me. Just be a good guy.
Oh, God, I'm so bored.
Are you high, Kevin?
That looks like one of the best movies ever.
Oh, God, I'm so bored.
Is there a movie called Mission Impossible this weekend,
what
Ralph?
What if Jesse Eisenberg blew up Jason Segel?
Then I'm in.
What if he put a bomb in one of his books?
In as well.
Yes, Mission Impossible also opens up this weekend. It is, as you expect, Tom Cruise and stuff blowing up. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Are you okay to drive? A minute ago, you were dead.
What are you talking about?
This is not going to end well.
Shutting down the IMF is a mistake you may regret.
Go.
The syndicate is real, and they know who we are.
You need cooling!
A rogue nation trained to do what we do.
An anti-IMF.
They're coming after us with everything they've got.
This may be our last mission. Let's make it count.
Yeah.
That's worth it for Simon Pegg alone, right?
Yes, he's great. Simon Pegg, Jeremy Renner, Rebecca Ferguson, Tom Cruise. Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation opens up this weekend, as does the comedy Vacation. It's a comedy about a family taking a road trip to a theme park called Wally World. Does this sound familiar? Of course it does. It's National Lampoon's Vacation, and now Rusty Griswold is all grown up taking his own family to see Wally World, and Ed Helms stars Christina Applegate. Cameo by Chevy Chase from the original. He also appears in this film. Here is a scene where Ed Helms is telling Christine Applegate to slam the car door on his arm. I know, it doesn't sound like a good idea, but this will explain more.
It has a sensor. It won't let you slam the door on your arm or leg.
Do it.
Kind of fun.
Slam it.
All right. There you go.
Oh!
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
God damn it!
Oh, my God! Why did you have me do that?
Well, I didn't have the sensor activated.
Okay.
I'm an idiot. Do it again.
No, absolutely not.
Come on, it'll be fine. I just activated it.
Fine.
Why did you do that?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That sounds funny.
It does sound funny.
That does sound funny.
Why are you apologizing?
Well, I don't know.
It's not Bean's typical
movie. It's
not
my kind of movie, yeah.
That's
but that was an impressive scene, I thought.
I think so, too. I think Vacation looks funny. So a lot to choose from this weekend. The End of the Tour looks to be terrific. And, of course, the Kevin Sugar documentary. They should make a I want to make a documentary about Kevin. That's my new mission in life, is to make a Kevin documentary. Just follow him around and say, this guy exists. He stays alive. inexplicably, each and every day, he doesn't kill himself.
How dare you?
How does that happen?
Dude, if you put up a Kickstarter right now for your new documentary, Kevin Live, I think people would contribute.
The Kevin film. All right, we got to get to work on that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
When I was a kid, I thought that cats were just the female versions of dogs. That's what one young man said. We're going to be taking your calls on things that you believed as a kid coming up just after 7 o'clock. We found out yesterday, by the way, that Ally McKay, whatever you think of her now, was really dumb as a kid. That's what we found out.
Wow.
So, well, we'll be discussing things you believed as a kid coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, it has been an ongoing controversy in a lot of states in the union for the past few years about whether it's okay to post things having to do with the Bible, for instance, a statue of the Ten Commandments or a statue of Jesus, on government property. And a lot of states are not allowing it anymore. They're just saying, nope, you can't do it anymore. One group that I think maybe had something to do with that change is once they saw things like the Ten Commandments statue going up, they said, well, in that case, we should be allowed to put Satan up because Satan's in the Bible, too, and we believe in Satan. So if you can put the Ten Commandments up, we can put Satan up. And they keep going to court and trying to make that happen. Well, so far it hasn't been working. So what this one organization did in Oklahoma is they unveiled a Satan statue somewhere away from government property, and it got quite a bit of press.
Also, it was like the middle of the night.
It was a stealth launch. Just before, I said Oklahoma. They were in response to that, but they actually unveiled the statue in Detroit. Just before midnight on Saturday, they unveiled a statue of Satan. So that's a thing that's now happening in the United States.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Should we check in with Satan and see what?
Yes.
What he thinks about it?
What does he think about his people after getting their work done? We're dialing up the hotline to hell. Is that where we are?
Yes.
All right.
We're actually dial it. We have a connection full time. Satan?
Are you guys okay?
Hi, Satan. How you doing, man?
You seem a little shaky on the details.
Well, clarify it for us, would you?
About the story, about how we talk, about everything, really. Sounds a little...
That was not my best work. It was not my smoothest transition.
Wow.
Come on, Satan. Give him a break.
It's your job, right? You have one job.
I was confused because they were protesting the Ten Commandments statue in Oklahoma, yet somehow they put their Satan statue up in Michigan. So I think that's what threw me, Satan.
But it's Staten, and you know how we talk. It's just a lot of confusion.
All right. So what about your people? What about these satanic groups that are trying to get statues of you all over America?
I'm all for it. I think it's a great idea.
Uh-huh.
Because let's face it, you have a point. There's a lot of statues about Jesus and the Bible and stuff. What a little equal time, right?
Right.
Level playing field. It's all I'm asking for.
I mean, you are in the Bible, too, just like God.
Yeah. You know what? Without me, there's not much of a story in that book, quite frankly. I'm the straw that stirs the drink, okay? I'm kind of the engine that gets that story going. Otherwise, it's just a lot of water into wine crap, you know? But I give you the juice, man. I'm the energy.
Now, is this Satan statue, is this the first one in the United States?
Oh, no, there's lots of statues.
Okay,
all
right.
But this is the first big, this is like a one-ton statue.
Okay.
Wow, right. Okay.
It's a Baphomet.
What's a Baphomet, Satan?
A Baphomet is one of my minions. It's a human body, but it's got a goat's head, and it's got wings.
Okay. All right.
It's awesome. It really is just a beautiful thing. And there's a little statue of a boy and girl looking up at it adoringly, saying, "Hail Satan!"
Now, I have to be honest. I'm a little bit surprised to read the report that there were hundreds of people in attendance for the unveiling of the statue.
Why do you find that hard to believe? I'm a very popular dude.
Well, I feel like you're not. I feel like a lot of people don't really identify as Satanists.
What? You know how popular I am? I'm everywhere, man.
But
I'm in pop culture. I'm in sports. I'm everywhere.
Why did they have to put a statue of you up at midnight?
Because that's my hour, man.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Boy. Listen, I'm everywhere. Look, the New England Patriots.
Right, yeah.
My team. That's yeah. me. I put that together.
I see that.
Who's your quarterback?
Who else? Tommy. Yeah.
Tommy Brady.
Tommy B. Yeah.
That's right.
He's my guy.
I support that, Satan.
He and his wife worship me. I'm in television. Knock Knock Live. That was mine.
That was
really?
You?
I was the producer of that. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm in music. Taylor Swift.
Oh, sure.
All her work. That's me. I'm her co-writer.
Wow. Who knew?
If you look at her car, she's got a bumper sticker that says, Satan is my co-writer.
I was not aware of that.
I'm in movies. The Lego Brickumentary.
That's you?
That's mine. I'm in social media.
Okay.
All of Bean's Periscope videos.
Really? You're behind those?
I'm behind all those. Can't you tell? That's hell in a video right there.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 4 minutes till 7.
We got your tickets to go see No Doubt. We also got The Killers, 311, Slightly Stupid, Young the Giants, so much more. It's the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015, the Kaboo Music Festival in Del Mar. Go to K-Rock.com for all the details. Your chance to win those tickets at 9 o'clock this morning. Hey, Ralph Grammer, what's going on with you, man?
I am ready to do some show business.
All right.
How about that?
You're in the right place at the right time, then.
Before I get to the beat, how about tonight? Come see me and Kevin Smith do our Hollywood Babylon show. We're bringing it back to Hollywood at the Improv on Melrose there in Hollywood. We always have a good time. We'd love to have you come out and join us. We talk about the entertainment news, and Kevin gets very baked, and I get enormously drunk, and then usually the night ends with me yelling at someone. So no! 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 I think you'd like it.
Do you hit the stage that way, or do you develop as the night goes on?
I have a couple pre-show cocktails, because
okay, right.
You can't fly on one wing.
Sure.
And then I also get served while I'm on stage.
All right.
And often the good people in the audience will buy me shots and stuff in the course of the evening. So it depends on how long the show goes. It tends to go longer the more I drink.
Sure.
And then, but by the end, I'm usually yelling at somebody. That's usually how they tell me the show ends.
You've never heard the end of one of your shows.
But we do have a good time. So if you'd like to come see me and Kevin Smith, it's a little a bit of a birthday show tonight, too, because Kevin's birthday is this week.
Aww.
So come join us at the Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets for tonight's
show. Not interested.
Show. Well, that guy won't be there. But
ain't nobody got time for that.
Okay, she won't be there either. But some other people, I'm sure, will. Hey, Sean from The Bachelor is in the hospital.
He's
asshole.
The one. He's
oh, come
the
on.
One that she chose, right?
Yes, he's the lucky man who gets to be with Caitlin.
Is he trying to end it?
No,
a guy
threw a brick at his head.
What?
Yes. Another reality show guy. A guy named Mickey Coco Rappaport was in a show called Grand Benders. Is any of this making any sense to anyone? Threw a brick at Sean's head while he was leaving a bar in Ontario, Canada. He's been charged with assault with a deadly weapon, and his son, Justin, was arrested for the same crime. Apparently, he also threw a brick at Sean's head.
Any word as to his motivation?
It does not say here. Sean is describing the situation as reality star on reality star crime and plans to sue, but doctors say it was lucky that the brick hit him in the head where there was no real damage to be done.
Doctors said that, did they?
Yeah.
Huh.
I like Caitlin. She's a good person.
Fenderhead.
Oh, wow.
Remember yesterday when Kevin kept telling everybody that Ben Affleck was dating his nanny, his family's nanny?
I believe that was the showbiz beat with
Kevin,
Ralph Garman.
Kevin and Bean were spreading those lies about
we would
Ben
not have
Affleck
said that.
Getting cozy with the family's nanny. Well,
my only source for that was you,
well,
Ralph
when
Garman.
Kevin and Bean were talking about that, I was saying, that doesn't seem like you should be something you should ever be saying.
Is that the way you remember that?
Yes.
Not really,
yes, she
actually.
Does. That's what she was just telling me in the other room, how she remembers the thing the way I do.
You came up with a business plan of putting ugly
nannies
out there.
I remember
there.
That.
I don't,
so this didn't happen.
I'm pretty sure that never
Ralph
happened.
Garman.
But the New York Daily News says that Ben Affleck's legal team is considering legal options against the Daily News and other outlets that have been reporting that he is, in fact, dating the family nanny.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Ben's attorney says he doesn't like news outlets hiding behind blind sources and is considering legal action against those people who are spreading what they are calling untrue stories. So, Kevin and Bean, shame on you. Shame, shame, shame.
How dare you, sir.
I say unto thee.
As long as they spell Kevin and Bean G-A-R-M-A-N, I'm fine.
Fire,
right?
Fire,
that's where I got the story fire, from. Birma was spreading that lie in the other room. My friend Randy told me Ben Affleck's dating his nanny.
So that's not a thing, then.
I never said it was, nor would I say it is.
No, we're confirming that it's not a thing.
That's what I'm telling you, Kevin. Finally, stop spreading your lies is what I'm begging you.
How dare you.
To do.
But Affleck is still in the Taliban, right?
Right, that for sure. His family did own slaves. We know that much.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Cuban, 57 years old today. That seems like a good life to be Mark Cuban.
Boy, yeah, it sure does. Yeah.
Own your sports team and be on your TV show and just have all the money. And just do that for a while.
Does seem fun.
Wesley Snipes is 53. J.K. Rowling is 50 years old today. Dean Cain, at one time, Superman.
And soon to be on Supergirl.
That's right. He'll be showing up on that. Dean Cain also, by the way, his other claim to fame is he once took a pitch from Kevin Ryder at a celebrity baseball game and hit the ball so hard it became what they call cork dust.
Yeah, I don't think it's come down. I think it just went up into the atmosphere.
Yeah. There was the one pitch you got across the plate, right, Kevin?
It was the only pitch that I got across the plate probably in 30
pitches.
And Dean, were you just walking everybody?
Yes.
Dean Cain just tattooed it.
Just, and I finally put one on the plate. I was like, yes! Boom. Yeah. Gone. Forever.
Will Champion, drummer for Coldplay, is 37 years old. BJ Novak, the writer and actor, is 36. M. Shadows, Avenged Sevenfold singer, he is 34. Michael Bradley from Team USA in football is 28. And Rico Rodriguez, Manny, from Modern Family, 17 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So how did this topic come up the other day in the office?
I don't remember. Why were we talking to... how did it come up, Allie? Allie told us a story. When she was a kid, she used to think that you could turn off the TV and then it would pause there.
Yeah, if you had to go to the bathroom or get a popsicle.
And then she would come back to the TV and expect it to pick up where it left off.
I tried it numerous times, thinking maybe it just... I didn't press it in hard
enough.
Didn't
do it right.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, how long? Until like last year?
A couple years ago. Oh. No, this was when I was like 5 or 6. I would be watching Croft Superstars, that type of thing, and you have to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Your parents aren't up. They can't turn it off for you.
Right.
So you would press the off button.
So you would turn it off because your understanding was it would stay there.
It would stay at that point.
Because otherwise you would just leave it on.
Right.
Okay.
Come back in, and they had strangely continued the show, which is just bizarre.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with it, but you might be right.
I'm going to give Allie and whoever else we talk to, if you're 5 and you call us right now, 1-800-520-1067 about things that you believed as a kid that maybe upon reflection as an adult you realize maybe weren't that smart.
We're only taking calls from 5-year-olds.
I'm just saying if you're young and you think something is a way and then you find out it's not. But I give Allie and all the kids the benefit of the doubt because television and radio and movies, they're just magic when you're that age. You can't there's no way you can begin to understand how that stuff works.
I still don't get how it works, Bane.
But I mean, in Allie's mind, watching TV was like reading a book. And if you open a book and leave it on a certain page and go away, when you come back, it's still on the same page. So that kind of makes sense to me.
But time she did it, it failed.
A couple times.
Right, now, we brought in Beer Mug because he can always top on the dumb scale.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Mugs, when you were a kid.
When I was a kid, it all started when I watched Ghostbusters on VHS, the first one. I used to think that when I put the VHS tape in the VCR, that somehow all the actors in the movie were standing by to act out the movie for me.
So they were live someplace
else. Yes.
Why? But you understood you were putting a tape in a machine.
I did, and somehow I thought that tape was a signal to them to
hey, somebody's watching.
Yes,
start acting again.
Exactly. I don't know why. I was 5 years old. Yeah. But that's what I thought.
I bet a lot of kids growing up thinking the radio was just bands standing by waiting to play.
Yeah. I have read that in numerous accounts of people's lives where they have said they are amazed that the Beatles were up at 2 o'clock in the morning and ready to perform. Like, when do they sleep? They seem like they're always able to play. Look, that's the thing, man. When you're learning as you go, you got to figure all that stuff out. It totally makes sense.
Agree. And right? You still can't get pregnant in a hot tub, right?
That's correct. Okay. That actually is true. By the way, Kevin, is it only that you don't remember? Because I can't imagine you, of all people, don't have... I'm just saying...
I can't remember.
You do kind of have trouble navigating the world today as an adult. I can't imagine what 10-year-old Kevin was thinking.
I don't know. I can't explain.
All right. Well, we knew that this was going to be an easy one to get calls because everybody has something that they misunderstood as a child. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with, wow, we got some good ones already. Let's start with Carol. She's in Cyprus, and she's on line two to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Carol.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for calling. What do you have to add to this topic?
When I was five, my grandma would show me pictures of black and white photos, and I thought that life was black and white back then.
Yes. Yeah, so interesting. So you thought there was a point in history when everything turned to color.
Yeah,
that makes sense. It totally makes sense. By the way, I'm so glad you called with that, Carol. There's a show that's on the History Channel now that's called World War II in Color. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or seen it, but it still looks freaky to see that era of history in color. Like, you forget that it was in color because all the pictures and movies you've ever seen are in black and white. That's how you imagine it to have been. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It sounds like Bean still believes with you, Carol.
I think it might be possible. Thank you for the call, Carol. Appreciate it. Let's go to Corona Line 1, please. This is going to be our man, Matt, joining the conversation. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you.
I believed that Publix was a city full of snobs.
Publix was a city full of snobs?
Please explain.
Yeah. Like, I remember being 6 or 7, and we were out at a mall, and I burped. And my dad kind of swatted me and told me, you can't do that out in public. And I just thought, I hate this city.
So everything you did that was bad, you couldn't do in public, which was a horrible city to go to.
Yes. I did not understand why we would even go there.
What an oppressive city.
Do anything.
That's awesome.
That city was the worst.
Public sucks,
Public
Matt.
Does suck. You're right.
Yeah,
that's strong.
I still hate it to this day.
Me too.
Thank you for the call. Here's one. My dad told me that I had to eventually pay him back for all the food I ate as a child. My grandmother was also a daycare provider. When I saw my dad pay her each week, I assumed he was paying off his debt. That's funny. Let's go to Cody, line 3, please, in Corona. Hey, Cody, welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys?
When you were little, you thought?
We'd always go out to Huntington Beach, and we'd be on PCH, and where those big smokestacks are where the power plant is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought that's where clouds came from.
Oh, they were producing clouds.
Oh,
yeah. I thought
of course.
That's where clouds, yeah, it's logical.
So,
right?
Did you look at it like it was a really great thing? I love clouds.
Yeah, you know? And
all
then,
right.
Like, last
darling.
Year when I was like 25, somebody told me what it really was and kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah, so. See?
I'm sorry, Cody. Last year?
Yeah, something like that.
He said last year. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Miguel writes in, when I was young, I thought that if people got married on a TV show, they were married in real life.
I always thought Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon, very topical, were married.
Okay. All right.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I thought that when you become an adult, you have to change your name. My name always sounded like a kid's name to me, and my dad's name sounded like a dad's name. So I assumed that he grew up with a kid's name, and then he changed it to an adult name. Well, that makes a lot of sense, right?
Sure.
All right. I want to go to Felix on line 7, please. He's in Corona. I want to see how he explains this one.
All right, Felix, hi.
Oh, hey. Good morning.
Oh, what a surprise to talk to you.
It is a surprise.
Tell us what you thought when you were a kid.
All right. So when I was a kid, I always believed cartoons were real.
Cartoons were real.
Like Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd, etc.
Now, we understand cartoons.
Wait, hold on. What are cartoons? But you knew that they didn't look like you. You knew that they didn't look like the things that you could see in your house, right?
Right. But the reason I thought that they were always real is because Space Jam and Who Framed Roger Rabbit. The real people were on TV.
I gotcha.
I saw those two movies. I like, well, they are real. And
so when there's a real person in a cartoon, you thought at some point in life somewhere they were interacting.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Exactly. And I believe that up to 13, when I was, until I became 13 years old. And that's when, like, whoa.
Yeah, I can't vouch for you at 13, though.
Yeah.
And five,
I mean,
yeah.
I guess when you see, I mean, again, when you're really little, if you see a movie where people are with dinosaurs, in your mind, that must be real, right? I mean, I think media is probably the reason for a lot of this confusion. It makes sense anyway.
Yeah. So. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Thank you for the call, Felix. We appreciate it. We'll take your calls when we get back.
Well, let's share that with the class,
nope.
Kevin.
Nope.
No.
106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:23.
Things you thought when you were a kid. We're going to go to Daisy on line 8 here first. But listen to this. Jennifer writes in, hey, Kevin and Bean, I thought Doritos were so hot and spicy, so I put them in the freezer before I would eat them. Yikes, that's embarrassing to admit. Mm. See, that doesn't help. That doesn't help at all.
Sure.
Monica writes in, good morning, guys. When I was a kid, I was a chunker, and I used to think, I guess I was around 8 or 9 years old, that if I slept on my stomach, all the fat would just go away and I would wake up skinny. I probably thought this for about a year until I realized that nothing was happening.
That would be awesome.
Right?
Frank writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, at Kevin Bean. When I was five, I thought that real gorillas were attacking towns when I saw news reports of gorilla attacks in small countries. So a lot of good stuff. All right, let's go to Southgate, please, and give me Miss Daisy again. She's on line 8, and she's up first here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, guys. Oh, my gosh, huge fan.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to add, so when I was little, my mom would watch all of her soap operas, and I actually thought that that was, like, real people with their real-life drama, and there was maybe, like, hidden cameras to show to the world what was going on.
So you knew about reality shows before reality shows were here. You thought that was real.
Like, I thought it was real. I didn't know they were actors. I was like, how do they hide the cameras so well? And, like, I would actually go through my closet and stuff, trying to see if I could find a hidden camera of my own. Like, maybe I would get my own show. I don't know. Like, I would actually look through my room.
Wow.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for the call, Daisy. We appreciate you listening. Let's go to Carly in West Covina. She's on line 4. She's got another one that I think maybe TV confused her a little bit. Hey, Carly.
Hi, everyone.
When you were little.
Love you guys.
Thank you
very
much.
When I was little, I thought that when I got to high school, I would have to sing like in Greece.
When you got to high school, it was going to be Greece and you just had to pick a part?
No, I just thought everyone was singing in high school.
You just break out into songs all the time.
Yeah. Right. So when you were having...
I love that.
I really thought so. I would rehearse because I thought that when I got to high school, I'd have to be ready.
You rehearse songs.
I got to be ready, you guys, because first day of 10th grade, they're going to ask me to sing.
Look at that.
I love it. Thank you for the call so much. Let's go to, listen to this, by the way. Ruben writes in, when I was younger, I didn't understand people were actors in movies. When I saw Lou Diamond Phillips die in La Bamba, I could not comprehend how he was alive again to star in Stand and Deliver.
Oh, not my Richie.
It's a great point. Let's go to Anthony, line 3, please. He's in Los Angeles. This is like the guy who thought Public was a bad place. Anthony's got another one of those.
Hey, Anthony.
Good morning. Yeah, I thought Gunpoint was a place.
Gunpoint.
Yeah, my mom, when I was younger, would make me watch the news with her, and I didn't understand why people would keep going to Gunpoint because they were getting robbed.
Why won't they learn, Mom?
Yes.
Why would anyone go to Gunpoint?
Like, keep going there. She looked at me like, what do you mean? Like, she was confused why I asked that question.
Of course.
I think it's a very reasonable question, Anthony. Thank you for the call, sir. Let's go to line 5, please. Pico Rivera, this is going to be Doug. Now, he's got one that's gonna trip you guys, man. Wait till you hear what Doug's got going on.
Hey, Doug.
Okay. Whenever we went to the mall, I noticed that there was an exit on the top floor as well as the bottom floor because it was a two-story mall.
Right.
And they both exited to the parking lot. And I thought this was weird because, I mean, you can't leave on the top floor because, I mean, there's the air there, right?
Right.
But so in my 5-year-old me's logic, I obviously thought the top floor exit and bottom floor exit obviously led to alternate dimensions.
Wow.
Whoa.
So you had to make sure you left on the same floor you entered, or you would end up going home to a different house.
You would end up in a completely different universe.
Wow.
That is
and,
heavy.
Like, other people come from that universe to shop at the mall and then go back to their own universe. Obviously, that, right?
Obviously.
Yeah. Look, sure. That makes sense to me now. I still haven't found the flaw in your logic.
I love it.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to line 1, please, Riverside. This is going to be Colin. I have a feeling this is something he believed that may have gotten him into trouble on more than one occasion.
Uh-oh. Hey, Colin.
Yeah. Morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
Yeah, definitely caused some awkward moments for my mother.
So when I was younger, after my mother had my brother, I thought that all women with large bellies were pregnant.
Oh, no.
So did you were there times where you went up to a bigger lady and asked when she was having a baby because you just figured she must be pregnant if she's big?
Yeah, there was one specific instance where my mother used to tell me that we were in a video store and I walked up to a very large woman and tapped on her belly and asked her if she had a baby in there.
Nice.
And caused everybody in the room to blush.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
My mom got really upset and had to leave.
All right. Thank you for the call. Aaron writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, when I heard chilly for the weather as a kid, I thought it was going to be a hot day because chilly is hot. See, that's just, he's just confused by the fact that there are two words named chilly. Andrea writes in, when I was a kid, I thought there was an entire civilization of tiny people who lived and worked in streetlights and controlled them for us.
So they would turn them on at dusk?
Apparently so. Huh. Here's one similar to the guy at gunpoint. Michelle writes in, I used to think that Epicenter was an actual city. I could never understand why anyone would go there or live there when there were reports of earthquakes. Well, that makes a lot of sense. The last place you want to be is at the Epicenter, right?
Let's go to Ed in Wildomar. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Great. So when I was a kid, I lived overseas, so I thought that the United States of America is up in the clouds because, you know, the airplane goes up there.
The United States of America was up in a cloud because the airplane went up there. So you thought everybody on an airplane was going to the United States of America?
Yeah, say the airplane is headed to the U.S., and I thought that the U.S. is up in the clouds because the airplane is traveling up
in the clouds. I see. So you were not a bright kid.
I got to be honest, that's dumb.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you for calling.
Tell the kids about that Foo Fighters video that everybody was buzzing about yesterday, Kevin.
There was a town in Italy that wanted the Foo Fighters to come play for them. So they had, it looked like 1,000 people. Yeah. And I think they counted them. And there were drummers and guitarists and everybody was singing. And it's awesome. I mean, it's really good.
What song do they do?
Learning to Fly.
Thank you. Learn to Fly.
How do you get 1,000 people together to rehearse and come together and make a video like that?
I don't know.
Pretty
Did you
impressive.
Tear up a little?
I loved it.
I teared up.
I wanted to
it was beautiful.
Have them come play for us here.
It is cool to see how much they love that band, that's for sure. We'll definitely check it out. Ralph did a story yesterday that was a surprise to me because I had not heard about this. Look, I know that if you've got the money and the resources, there's very little on your body you can't have some sort of surgery on. But I had never heard of surgery on knees. Apparently, wrinkles on knees are now a thing that women, in particular women, are trying to avoid. It is reported, by the way, that Demi Moore, remember when we did the back a couple of years ago when it was revealed that she had tens of thousands of dollars of plastic surgery?
Right.
And she looks amazing. Apparently, part of that plastic surgery was an $8,000 knee lift to firm and smooth her saggy knees. And apparently, it's a hot new surgery, and there's lots of different things that they're doing for ladies' knees in Hollywood. Actresses are going in. There's one dermatologist who says there are two different ways to do it. There's a fat liquefying injectable that you can get that has been approved by the FDA. That costs you about $2,000. There's also an infrared device that costs $1,200 for a one-time treatment. And originally, they used that to dissolve double chins, but now they're using it to treat localized areas like the inside of your knees. What's the deal with this, Allie? Have you ever seen a woman and had a problem with her knees?
I have never, but if you're not feeling good about your knees, but they're called ninkles which I'm fascinated by. But to think that there's everything from, like you said, infrared, like non-invasive, all the way to a lift where you're stretching that skin. I mean, you've got to be pretty concerned about your ninkles to
How
go
How bad
that
can
route.
Your ninkles be?
Apparently bad.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this because we saw this article in the Hollywood Reporter, but we still have many questions. We asked Dave to line us up a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon, and I believe Dr. Ryan McNeil is on the phone with us right now. Hey, doctor, how are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
We're very good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine. Allie just brought up that they're called ninkles. I had not heard that term before.
Yes, ninkles are the age-betraying lines that women of a certain age get on their knees, and mm-hmm. so we have to remove them because, as you know, a woman's knees tell the story of her life.
I'm not sure that's true.
It is. Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Okay. Oh, okay. So it used to be that women just had to be concerned about their face sagging a little bit. And then we heard a lot of stories about reports of, oh, you got those sagging upper arms. You've got to do something about that. Yes. And then, of course, your belly. And yes. Now we're down to the knees.
Well, luckily, we're chipping away at all of the horrible, horrible parts of a woman's body. Cool. We've mastered most of them, and now we're at the knees. But there is still a lot of work to go. This long national nightmare is not yet over.
I don't feel like it's a national nightmare.
It is. Trust me. I'm a doctor.
Okay. All right. So women are coming into your office, are they, Dr. McNeil? And they're paying thousands of dollars so that they can walk out. And how much different can their knees possibly look?
They look worlds apart. When they come into my office, they're hideous hags of women. They're
wow.
Disgusting, just oink, oink, piglet knees.
You sound like a horrible doctor.
No, I'm a wonderful doctor, first of all. These women are awful, however.
Wow.
Hideous, wrinkly knees. And they come in here with their ninkles. And then I, through the magic of me, am able to fix them and make them once again someone that you could just look at without vomiting.
Wow. Is this ninkle thing a new surgery that you're doing?
Well, we have lots of different treatments for ninkles.
Okay.
Everything from lasers to actual surgical lifts to injections, whatever it takes, just get those hideous knees fixed, ladies, because men will look at you and throw up in their mouths if they
okay.
look at your knees
not,
and you have wrinkles.
I'm going to say that's not true.
Do
not
men
like that.
Get ninkles?
Men... It doesn't matter. It's men.
Okay.
Who cares?
That's a good point.
But there's so many parts of a woman's body that are just awful.
What?
And so I suggest you just get as much surgery as you can to fix all of those horrible, horrible areas.
You're already down to the ninkles. What's left?
There's many surgeries and procedures we're doing now that are just fine-tuning those little, small, subtle areas that betray a woman. Nostril tightening is very popular now.
Okay. Nostril tightening.
Yes. Who wants to see a woman with a giant, big gorilla nose just with those big nostrils flaring at you? No, women have to have small, petite nostrils. Nostrils you could barely breathe through. Just the slightest bit of air would get through a nostril. So we go in surgically and we just tighten those nostrils up to give you that perfect little just... Barbie nose that just doesn't really function.
Well, I wasn't even aware that nostrils were a problem for some ladies.
Also,
but okay.
Men love a woman's earlobes to nibble on the lobe of a woman's ears. Very erotic. And most women have horribly small lobes, so we're doing lobe augmentation now.
Lobe augmentation.
Yes, we put an implant in your lobe, give you nice, big, beefy, meaty lobes.
So women would intentionally come to you to get larger earlobes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Tell me how many cc's you want, and I just put just an implant right there in your lobe, just big, hefty lobes.
Well, what if it hardened? Are you concerned about that?
It'll harden, lady. Trust me. Also, tongue implants are very popular now.
Tongue implant?
Oh, most women have horribly flabby tongues, but this way we put just a hard plastic implant in the tongue to keep it nice and firm. You stick your tongue out and you just look like you have just another forearm in your mouth.
Why do you want a forearm on your mouth?
Why? Who wouldn't? And, of course, rectal rejuvenation is very popular. Rectal rejuvenation.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, ladies with their flabby sphincters.
Oh, no.
Nobody wants a flabby sphincter. Your food will fall out.
What?
Your food will fall out.
That's not
but
how...
That's...
That works.
Trust me, I'm a doctor. That doesn't work.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
It's a prequel 15 years in the making. Wet Hot American Summer, first day of camp, available now. All 8 episodes on Netflix. We're going to have the co-creator, co-writer, co-star, Michael Showalter from Wet Hot, coming up right after 8 o'clock here on K-Rock. Rob's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, boys and girls. You guys were mentioning the new video of Learn to Fly that is played by 1,000 Italian Foo Fighter fans. It dropped on YouTube yesterday, and it has just blown up the internet. It takes place in Cesena, Italy, where 1,000 fans gathered together to play Learn to Fly in a video in hopes of attracting Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters' attention to get them to play in their little town in Italy. Well, it just may have worked. If you haven't seen the video yet, it is 1,000 people. They call themselves the Rockin' 1,000. And they gather together drummers, bass players, guitarists, vocalists, all in a giant field in a video that was planned for over a year. Took them a year to put it together. From casting it, get everybody together, to learning to play the song in unison, to preparing the shoot and actually executing it. It took them a year from start to finish to put it all together. It is an amazing video. If you haven't seen it yet, it's available at krock.com. You can check it out there. Here's a little taste of the video.
Insult the band, but that's a pretty good version right there.
It's awesome. And it just encapsulates like the joy of rock and roll if you watch this video. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just having such a good time putting it together. It will give you chills. Well, the Foos responded via Twitter by saying, "Che bello Cesena," which translates to how lovely Cesena or how nice. But what?
But the rope?
No. But what the Rockin' 1000 are really excited about is the Foo Fighters just this morning tweeted, "Ci vediamo a presto, Cesena." David, which translates to "See you soon, David." So apparently they are going to go. They are going to go play in the little Italian town of Cesena. They're going to reward those guys for getting together and doing that.
That's pretty strong.
Which is, you know, that's just so Grohl. I mean, you knew there was no way he'd not go there.
I was afraid he was going to move there after he saw it.
Why wouldn't you? You're a god, apparently.
It's awesome.
They build temples in your likeness and stuff, erect statues in your honor. So that's a heartwarming story for those guys.
That's rock and roll. What can I say?
You're right, Rodney.
It's true, Rodney. Thank you.
Speaking of music, U2 and HBO are teaming up. There's going to be two world premiere specials this fall featuring the band. One, a behind-the-scenes documentary. And then another, a concert special.
I dig.
The documentary will bow on November the 7th and offer access to the band and the team behind their current Innocence and Experience world tour. And they will interview the band and everybody who had to put that all together. And then there will also be another special, which will feature live music from that tour. So,
oh, my God.
For you two fans, there's a lot of good television in the offing.
Some dreams come true.
Some of them do, Rodney. Like me working with you, buddy. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Really sad.
No, it's not really sad at all. And you know me, I'm a collector. I have a collection at home that I'm very proud of, my Batman collection.
You may be too
so
proud of
what?
It.
It's my vintage Batman collection.
And, oh, my God, really?
Yes. And now fans of Mad Men should be excited because beginning today, there's an auction at a place called ScreenBid.com. ScreenBid allows you to buy props and costumes and stuff from movies and TV shows.
You're right.
They are selling off all of the props from Mad Men.
Like hell.
It's true. Let's say you want a drink out of Don Draper's flask.
Very strange.
You can put your mouth right where John Hamm's mouth was on that flask.
Losers.
You can drink.
That's a little weird.
You can drink out of the cocktail glasses they used, set pieces from Don's apartment, from Joan's apartment, Harry's mugs, Don's cufflinks. I mean, you name it. They are selling it all off at ScreenBid.com.
You could look it up on the internet. It's up there somewhere.
It is, yes.
That's a good point.
ScreenBid is the name of the company. So if you're a Mad Men fan, 1,400 items from the Mad Men set are now up for auction. So you can drink your whiskey out of Don Draper's glasses.
My goodness.
How awesome would that be?
Oh.
I'm buying some of that stuff.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to get some.
Fridays are for suckers.
No, they're not. Fridays are great, Rodney. Everyone likes Fridays. Speaking of Friday, tonight, Friday, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing Hollywood Babylon. We're bringing our show back to the Improv on Melrose.
Okay.
We'd love to have you come out and join us. 10 p.m. tonight, me and Kevin Smith do our show Hollywood Babylon. Come out and join us. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
I do what I want.
That's right.
But, Rodney, you've seen Hollywood Babylon, right?
Hey.
Right?
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Right?
He's still laughing about it. That's how funny the show is. Rodney loves it.
Moving on.
It's perfect for him. It's perfect for him. He goes there, and then he can go to Cantor's right afterwards.
That's
and
true.
Grab a meal there at Cantor's.
You.
Wow. I don't know what's going on. Today's celebrity birthdays: Mark Cuban, Shark Tank, and, of course, the Dallas Mavericks, and Money.
He's and the president of the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen.
Sharknado 3's president, 57 years old today. Wesley Snipes is 53. J.K. Rowling.
The young woman who gave us Harry Potter all those years ago, 50 years old today, Dean Cain, 49, Will Champion, Coldplay drummer, she really should be a superhero.
That's a great name.
It's a great name. 37 years old today, BJ Novak from The Office, he is 36, M. Shadows, Avenged Sevenfold singers, 34, soccer player Michael Bradley is 28, and Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family plays Manny on that show, he is 17.
Make love to my buttocks, Manny!
That's right. Kevin's always said that. Whenever he watches that show, whenever Kevin watches Modern Family, Allie, you don't remember this because you're fairly new to the show, but Kevin has a crush on Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family. And every time he watches that show or we bring him up, this is what he says every time.
Make love to my buttocks, Manny.
It's all Kevin cares about. He loves himself. He loves himself from Rico Rodriguez.
Sweet, sweet love.
That's right.
And now it's legal.
He's 17, Kevin. Oh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That'll be legal soon. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Michael Showalter in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Co-creator, executive producer, co-writer, co-star of Wet Hot American Summer, First Day of Camp. Available right now, all 8 episodes on Netflix. Mr. Showalter, how are you, sir? Welcome.
Wow. Thank you. This is my first time on the show. It's good to be here.
I can't even believe that because you've been part of so many things that we've loved over the years. You know, we had your little friend Mr. Wayne on recently, and I remember when he said July 31st, I thought I can't wait that long, but it's finally here. How's it feel for you to wake up today and know that finally all this material you've been sitting on is available to the public?
It's exciting. It's very exciting. The show's been getting a really good response out there. We're certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Certified fresh.
Certified fresh.
Nice.
Certified fresh.
It's what you dream of.
Right? It is what you dream of.
That's why you get into show business, is to be certified fresh.
We're certified fresh.
All right. Well, let's back it up for folks who maybe aren't familiar with the franchise, with the Wet Hot American Summer. So the movie comes out in 2001, and it's fair to say it's a modest hit, right?
Modest is a good word, a euphemism.
Meaning it didn't lose money if I am interpreting it correctly, but it also wasn't lips.
You're joking, right?
It was a flop. Really.
Did it lose money? I didn't know it lost
money. To say that it was a flop suggests that it had a chance and then didn't do well.
Didn't live up.
So
there
were. You know what I mean? Like I think of like you know like. Waterworld or something is a flop.
That was a flop. Yes.
We never had a chance.
You weren't even on the radar, right?
We weren't even on the radar.
So it was barely released. It escaped really more than it was released.
It was dumped.
Wow.
It was dumped into a couple theaters and then that was
when it was dumped. You had to go. Oh, put a lot of work into that.
The
that
awe fun. Moment happened. Yeah, the awe moment happened when we went to Sundance in 2000, whatever year we went to Sundance, which was a big honor and a big sort of career moment. Like, we're doing this, we're going to Sundance, and it was this festival that I had always revered, and we're going to go have our movie, and we're going to get the 5-picture deal and stuff and have the big sale, and it didn't happen.
And be certified fresh.
It didn't happen at Sundance, the movie. You know, it was like right away crickets at Sundance.
Really?
Yeah.
This is shocking to me.
Yeah, I know.
And I know that it's hard to – I mean, we look back at it now, and there are so many big stars in it that it sounds incredible. What you're saying is true. But was anybody a big star at the time the film was made?
Janine Garofalo was.
She was the star.
She was the star.
Because she had already done the Cats and Dogs movies and some other things, right?
Reality Bites, Truth About Cats and Dogs.
Okay.
One or two other – she'd been in one or two other kind of successful things. And she was a name. She was a legitimate name at that time. David Hyde Pierce had done Frasier or was still doing Frasier. So he was someone that people knew. And then Molly Shannon was, I think, just finishing her run on SNL.
Okay. But Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler, Bradley Cooper, Elizabeth Banks, Michael Ian Black, all those people are new faces to the people who went to the theater.
Yeah. In fact, most of those was their first – with not Paul Rudd, but Poehler, Banks, Bradley, and most of us, it was the first movie we'd ever done.
That's unbelievable. Wow. That's unbelievable. Okay. So you put it out of your mind. Well, that was a fun experience. I made some friends, but it didn't make any money. I got to go off and do other things. And then how many years do you percolate on that until the idea to bring it back comes around?
Well, it's been about 15 years since the movie came out 15 years ago. But, you know, about 2 years after the movie kind of came and went, you started to notice that the movie was having a life, a second life or a new life. It came out on DVD and it seemed to be getting passed around. And there were college screenings and midnight shows and costume parties and sort of a Rocky Horror Picture Show thing started to happen. Not quite the same exact thing, but if
less that, toast,
less, yeah, less toast. but that feeling that it had struck some nerve, underground, and people would say that they would like go on a date and like ask the person they were on the date with if they liked Wet Hot American Summer. And depending on their answer, it was a litmus test of how the date was going.
If they're going to ditch him or not.
Yeah. You know, it was like some kind of a barometer of a personality type or a sensibility. So, that's about, you know, we've, you know, started talking then, but then around the time of the 10-year anniversary where there was a sort of renewed, some new press came out about it and people still like this movie and look how well the cast has done is when we started to really start talking seriously about doing something else.
And I've read among your cast members that a lot of them stayed in touch and remained friends. So it wasn't like now you got to track these people down. I mean,
no.
Everybody was kind of already talking, right?
Yeah, and we'd all done movies and TV shows together and performed together and remained friends outside of work as well. So with almost no exceptions, it wasn't like, hey, remember me from 15 years ago? You know, it was, hey, remember me from last night when we were hanging out and but – you know, still though, we went to every single person in the whole cast. We sent like an email to the entire cast, which was like 25 people.
And what year was this?
This was 3 years ago.
Okay. All right.
And said, we're thinking about doing another project, another Wet Hot project. We're not sure what, but we're thinking about doing it. Would you want to do it? And it was like unanimous. Sure. Whatever it is, we'll do it. We'll show up. We'd love it. And then the Netflix thing happened after that. So it wasn't like we went to Netflix first. We went to the cast first and said, we're thinking about doing something. Would you want to do it? So when we approached Netflix, we walked into the room with like, we've already talked to our whole cast and everybody wants to do it.
That's beautiful. And yeah. And did, in your mind?
And I don't think they believed us.
Oh, really? Because, no. because the names now, I mean, Bradley Cooper, for God's sake.
I think they were thinking like, if a couple of those people come back and do it, we'll be happy. I think they were really shocked that literally every single person from the movie.
And did you pitch them an episode or did you pitch them a movie?
We pitched them the series.
Okay.
We pitched them the television series. We pitched them the basic arc. I mean, the show, the 8 episodes take place in the course of one day. So we basically pitched them the one day.
I love that.
Yeah.
And of course, the original movie took place in one day also, the last day of summer camp in the summer of 1981.
Right.
And your prequel that's available now in 8 episodes on Netflix goes to the
first day
of summer.
Right.
So all of these actors are 15 years older playing 3 months younger than
two months younger
than the
yes.
original movie.
Yes.
I know it's Hollywood and all.
And we were way too old when we did the original movie.
Right. You were already 35.
Exactly.
Right?
Which one of the cast members is least believable as the younger them?
Me, by far. Right? By far. I look a little better now than I did then. But, I mean, like, I had – when we shot the movie, I had just my – I had two kids and – babies, and I, like, you know, hadn't seen the light of day in months, and, you know, so what do? You just, like, eat a lot of donuts and...
Sure.
And I heard that the makeup people had pictures of you guys from the original movie and was trying to recreate the hair,
yeah,
everything.
Well, we're all wearing wigs. I mean, in the original movie, it was our real hair. We all... since
that was Ken Marino's real hair?
Not Ken Marino.
Okay.
Not
too bad. Right.
But
that was a powerful white man afro.
But most of us, I'm trying to think of that. He may have been the only wig in the original movie. But, you know, it was like we didn't have careers, so everyone had time to grow their hair, you know? And so on this one, though, there's a lot of wigs. A lot of wigs.
It's still shocking, though, and these are Hollywood people who take care of themselves, but it's still shocking how much you guys all look the same for the most part. I mean,
it is.
Like Paul and Amy and Elizabeth, they all really do look like they could have shot this the day after you shot the first one.
It is amazing.
It's kind of shocking.
It is shocking.
Michael Showalter is here. We're talking about Wet Hot American Summer, first day of camp. Hey, let's play that clip before we go to break, Kevin. This is awesome. I think this is you. Is that right, Kevin? It's Michael, right? Addressing the campers on the first day of camp.
I think this is John Benjamin.
John Benjamin.
Who's the voice of Archer and is the voice of the can of vegetables from the original movie. And now here he is. He's the camp director.
First and foremost, there will be no relations between campers and counselors. Mm-hmm. This includes dry humping, necking, wet humping, wheelbarrowing, the old 1-2, the old 1-2-3, the old 1-2-3-4, the Bavarian pretzel, Denver omelets, the double-double, the double-down, the triple-double, the double-dip, the daily double, saltwater taffying.
Basically, any skin-to-skin contact is a no-no.
Why go to summer camp if you can't get a little Bavarian pretzel? That's what I've always said.
Or the Denver omelet, of course.
Of course.
Michael Showalter is here. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Michael Showalter in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the return of Wet Hot American Summer. First day of camp. It's on Netflix, all 8 episodes. Is it weird to think there are people out there who have already seen them all? They were waiting for it at midnight, Michael, and boom, they're done with it.
Yeah. Crazy.
Because you worked a long time on this, and now it's already over for
some
people.
Yeah, that's the world we live in now.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, we just got a tweet from your friend and co-star, Josh Charles, who's up listening to us this morning.
Hi, Josh.
I imagine you had, you know, when you brought in these new characters, you had such a huge cast from the movie. But when you brought in all these new characters, Jason Schwartzman, people like that, I imagine you kind of had your choice. You could pick whoever you wanted because of how beloved this thing is.
You just snapped your fingers and whoever would show up.
We were, you know, fortunate and truly blessed to have been able to have this incredible cast of amazing, funny, talented, devoted, in Josh Charles's case, attractive, good looking.
Was it tough for you when you sat down to start writing, to put yourself back in the mindset of where you were 15 years ago? Because you've done so much since then, and it probably changed a lot as a writer.
Yes. I think also had some time to – you know, we just – David Wayne and I, right before Wet Hot American Summer, had made this movie called They Came Together, which is sort of a much more airplane-y spoof of the romantic comedy genre. And we had just done that movie with Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler, in fact, and some other people that are in Wet Hot. And so Chris Maloney has a big part in it, Michael Black. So we were in the mindset of the kind of comic sensibility that we were doing in Wet Hot. And so we almost went right from one into the next. And and then also, like, these characters have been kind of in our brains percolating for a while. So if anything, it was sort of like, finally, we get to write some more stuff for this. Finally, we get to, like, do it again.
I don't get all the people and almost everything I read, like, how did you get everyone together? Well, it was an awesome experience.
Yeah, because they were psyched to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And talk a little bit. We talked off the air about how the weather in the first one, just pouring rain, pretty miserable.
Yes.
But that probably led to a lot of the bonding and the friendships.
Yeah, there was. Well, as some people know, when we made the first movie, we actually lived in bunks. It was camp.
Yeah.
And we were at a camp.
In Pennsylvania, right?
In Pennsylvania. It was May, I think. So their normal camp season hadn't started yet. So we were kind of staying in the camp while they were getting the camp ready for their real camp.
How did you get anything done? I would have gotten nothing done.
Well, most of the cast, I mean, we were like drunk the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
I think it's fair to say. You know, Amy Poehler recently said, you know, the only two people who worked were me and David. And I was like, no, just David. I mean, but, you know, it was fun. It was fun. And it did. It rained the whole time. It was freezing cold. And you know what it's like on the East Coast when it's like raining and cold. It's like
kind of drunk.
You have to drink. You go inside and you get drunk.
You share a sleeping bag.
You wear a boot. You put on like very
off the grid. You need.
Sorry, guys.
It was really
incredibly
great.
Super great.
Sorry, guys.
I've been on
cable.
No worries. How much making out is there in the Netflix series?
So much
making out. So much. So much making out in the movie.
And I have to look away every time. I'm very squeamish. It's like mega French kissing going on. We call it like banana sounds. It's just like the sounds
It's aggressive tonguing.
It's the sound of people eating bananas.
Oh. What your character Wow. Yeah,
and in fact sometimes we just put that sound over it. Like
you just add to it?
We just add the sound of people eating bananas to the image of people making out because it's so like viscous, just soft tissue mashing against.
Okay, we got it, Michael.
I'm not sure I get it.
I think we got it. Okay. Where's Coop, your character who had a little bit of heartbreak at the end of the movie? Where's he at the beginning of that summer of 81?
He on the last day of camp in the summer of 1980, had some sort of an interaction with a girl named Donna that led him to believe that they were a couple. that is Lake, played by Lake Bell.
Ooh, nice.
And yes. And
love her.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so he's been waiting all year to see her again at camp and sort of pick up right where they left off. Because, you know, as far as he knows, on the last day of camp, I'm pretty sure we agreed that we were going out.
That's a guy thing right there.
And so,
oh, yeah, it's on.
And so she shows up and he, like, you know, is sort of like reminds her, like, we're boyfriend and girlfriend, in case you aren't aware of that. And of course,
she hasn't thought about him at all in the last 10 months. Right?
Exactly. No, and she's like, you know, she went to Israel, you know, during the winter and like smoked cigarettes and stuff. I mean, it was like that thing that happens when you're in high school where like people start like going to Europe during the summer and they come back and they're
so
different.
Cool.
They're different.
Yeah. They're way better than let's be honest. Would it be spoiling anything for you to tell me how Weird Al ends up on Wet Hot?
Well, I guess at this point people know what's going on. Wait, you haven't seen it, right?
No, I'm asleep at midnight.
See, because Weird Al, something pretty interesting happens with Weird Al's character.
It's Bean's hero. That's why he is my hero. He's my personal lord and savior. Yeah, he's the greatest human.
Feel free
of all
to
time.
Not tell.
I don't.
That
wanna,
would bring me joy.
I don't want to spoil it because
I don't want it to be spoiled.
Something pretty great happens with Weird Al's character.
All right. Okay. All right. I can't wait. All right. Anything we haven't
or Weird. We call him Weird.
Weird. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Anything else you want us to know or the listeners to know about Wet Hot American Summer First Day of Camp before they go immediately after this interview to Netflix and start watching?
Just that it's certified fresh.
It's certified fresh. It's all you need to know.
I think I just repeat that it's certified fresh.
So fun. So happy that this happened, Michael. I mean, it must just feel like such a blessing for all you friends to be able to get together and work together again and have so much fun. It's awesome.
It's been amazing. Truly, it has been amazing.
Well, and, we've been looking forward to it for a long time. We're glad it's here.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for coming in and sharing it with us.
Such a pleasure to be here.
He is the director of one of the best Marvel movies of all time, Ant-Man. Peyton Reed joins us in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, the Afro line is on the air. That's our voicemail. You call us 24/7. Leave a message. We play it back on the radio. The number is 323-520-AFRO. What are we hearing today?
Shut up, She-Bean.
Okay. A lot of times there's no context, so we just take for granted. That's just in general.
A lot of things, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Allie, you want to be my Rubik's Cube? I could finish you in under 6 seconds.
Ooh, that's tempting.
Very tempting offer.
That's quite an offer. Yeah. We were talking about a first date, and perhaps hiking is not the best way to do that.
You don't have to be lonely on hikersonly.com. Pretty smart.
People love to make fun of perhaps the way I talk.
Hey, Kevin's doing commercials for Mazda. Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom. We were talking to Matt Money Smith, who has a huge problem with ketchup on hot dogs. Those two worlds cannot mix in his life.
Hey, ketchup on everything. Apples, bananas, crackers. Donuts, tamales, on anything.
Ketchup on donuts.
Yeah, I don't.
I think Please tell me he's kidding.
I think he's kidding.
Okay.
I don't know what this is about.
I don't get it.
Again, probably just in general.
I would guess.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Guess who I am? Oh, no. I'm a colossal asshole.
Wait.
Bean, who would that be?
I'm not tracking with that call. What's he calling about?
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
He's making fun of that.
I believe I've been disparaged.
Speaking of Bean.
Yeah, that was me that left that sweet beat of Bean sneezing. How come the Gregory Brothers haven't gone up on that? Done a remix. Remix, Gregory Brothers. Bubbles out.
I didn't hear half of that. I think he was talking about a Bean Sneeze remix.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Which needs to be done.
Sorry.
Bean, this is just for you. I'm playing it over my objection.
Well, today is three-fourths Halloween.
Oh,
so it does.
You go right to hell.
It does make sense that they would leave that message.
You
so thank you, sir.
Go right to hell.
Happy holidays to you as well.
I like to think that we can ruin our listeners' lives even when we're not actually on the radio.
Damn it, Bean. I was trying to make out with my boyfriend. I'm taking off my shirt. It's about to get serious. And he looks me straight in the eye and goes, Daddy likey.
Oh.
Damn it, Bean. F you. F you so much.
Sound like maybe that ruined the mood?
That's the worst thing ever. We had a competition earlier this week for jingles.
Yeah.
And we were playing Omar's jingle about Tyra Banks, which we love so much.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big f***ing whore.
That Tyra Banks is a big fat whore. If you're playing the best of Omar's work, you have to go with the one song that started all the yeah! rhymes with roll. Yeah! Come on, play it. Let me hear it.
We did a game called Rhymes with Grohl.
Right, I think we were giving away Foo Fighters tickets, and that was the game, and all the questions required an answer of a word that rhymed with Grohl. That makes sense.
Rhymes with Grohl, Grohl. Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl. Rhymes with Grohl, Grohl. Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl.
Yeah!
Rhymes with Grohl.
Yeah!
Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl.
Yeah!
Rhymes with Grohl.
Yeah!
It's time to play Rhymes with Grohl.
Yeah!
You don't have to be on drugs, but it helps. That's all I'm saying. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
As I mentioned, Peyton Reed, director of Ant-Man, joins us. By the way, director of Bring It On. If he had done nothing else but Bring It On, he would be a national treasure. But he also gave us Ant-Man. He'll be joining us after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
Down with Love. That's my favorite Peyton Reed movie.
What are you
Down,
love was
Down
awesome.
With Love. That was an awesome movie. That was a Ewan McGregor, right?
Ewan McGregor.
That was a good movie.
Renee Zellweger.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to say it that
Another
way?
Scott. Mm. A lot of Scottish people in there.
Ralph, are you going to do the interview as Edwin?
If that's what Peyton wants, whatever Peyton wants, Peyton gets. It's that old song that we all know.
That's an
so
old
well.
Song?
Sure, yeah.
All right.
Whatever Peyton wants,
I think that's
Peyton gets.
I believe Lola.
Little man, that's why Peyton wants you.
That's Lola. I think that's not Peyton. That's Lola.
We have to agree to disagree on this one.
Hey, you know what we can all agree on? Let me tell you a little joke. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Nobody! Knock Knock Live on Fox, the hideous new show, has been pulled from Fox's schedule after just two airings.
We're surprised it aired a second time, though.
We were.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm surprised it aired a first time.
Yeah.
It aired, and it was the lowest rated premiere in Fox television history. then they said it's going to air again, and we were like, what? And turned out Justin Bieber was the special guest. So I guess they figured maybe we can get a little Bieber bump. And then 100,000 less people watched that episode.
Is that a Bieber bump?
No.
It
seems the opposite. Maybe the opposite
it's
of that.
It's a Bieber divot. And so they said, well, there's no hope for this. That's to pull the plug.
And there was no hope from the very beginning. Because it's a terrible show.
But if they had a sense of humor at all, they would have gone to Ryan Seacrest's house and knocked on his door with live cameras to tell him it was canceled.
Absolutely.
Now, that would be television worth watching. But they didn't. So there. It was the best time he ever had on television.
That's what he said.
Ryan Seacrest said.
Sure.
Yeah. They would knock on people's houses. I don't know if you people who didn't watch the show, and most of you didn't, obviously. Here's the premise.
It's called Knock Knock Live, Ralph.
Knock Knock Live. They would knock on your door at your house.
Just once?
No, twice. They would knock once, and then they would repeat.
All right.
And then it would be live, and then they'd give you something.
But we were deeply invested with the person who answered the door, right? We had a lot of reason to want to see them get a new barbecue grill.
We just met them. We had just met them, and then they would give them a trip to Guam.
For no reason.
If they could translate a Russian songstress in 30 seconds. It was
but
just...
you had to guess how old a neighbor's kid was, and you only had 20 guesses, right?
Right, that's right, yes. But
Is he 11? Is he 12? Is he 13?
The engaging personalities of Ross Matthews and Adrian Bailon or whoever was hosting
Kelly Pickler.
I found it weird that Ryan didn't do any of the knocking as it was his show.
He was busy at Knock Central, Kevin. He was there in the Knock wheelhouse, the Knock headquarters. He was he's the mastermind. He's the Knock mastermind. He has to operate the whole operation from the brain center, Knock Central.
He's Ed Harris in Apollo 13. Man, you don't put that guy in a capsule. You need him on the ground in Houston making sure the mission goes off.
That's right. Godspeed, knockers, he would say. When they went out there in the field, he was like a mastermind. He would just move all the pieces, man. He was the chess master of Knock Knock Live.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense, that show.
It was crap. And now it's gone. Most crap stays on television, but this crap was too crappy for television.
That's saying something.
That is saying something. Anyway, so today we rejoice. What do you do if you're Kylie Jenner and you just can't wait to get just S-face drunk, but you're just turning 18? Well, you move your birthday party across international borders and you go have a birthday party at the Beach Club Montreal in Canada where the drinking age is just 18 years old. Kylie's party will feature cabanas, pools, luxury beds, multiple bars, DJs, a $3,000 cake.
A $3,000 cake?
Wait for it. Tickets for her party went on sale yesterday morning at 10 a.m.
You said tickets went on sale.
You can get one for $40 if you want the cheap seats or $150 for the VIP experience.
Oh, my gosh.
To be able to be at her birthday party where she's going to make a ton of cash for being at her birthday party.
Hey, all of her older half-sisters, they've been selling themselves out to nightclub appearances for years.
Yes.
And where's this again, Ralph?
What do you call women who sell themselves? I'm trying to remember. What's the phrase for that? What's the word they use for that?
Business women?
No, that's not ringing a bell. Oh, that's right. Yes, thank you, Rodney. Thank you, Rodney. I appreciate it.
Everyone's a dumb whore.
Well, some of them are. Take a look at today's celebrity
birthday.
I'd
do that in a second, by the way. If I could sell tickets to my birthday party, I'd do that in a second.
Like you couldn't?
Please.
You get a party bus up and running? You don't think you could fill that thing? I'd spend $1,000 to be on your party bus for your birthday. Because it would just be nothing but chocolate and cocaine and...
How dare you?
And a hooker named Chocolate Cocaine and booze. It would just be... Kidding me?
By the way, Ralph, you brought it up earlier,
your birthday party, Kevin.
And I don't know if you've been online or not, but your idea of the documentary, Kevin Kevin Live, is picking up a lot of steam, and people want you to get that Kickstarter going because they are in.
Oh, look, I would do it. I don't think Kevin would let me follow him around with cameras.
What fun is that?
Plus,
come on, Kevin.
It's all fun, Kevin. That's what fun it is.
I would follow Kevin around for a couple months with a camera crew to film his life, to make this documentary. But every day he'd go, what are those cameras doing here? Every day for 2 months. I don't know if I could put up with that.
And Ralph, you would get tired of my nonsense in the first day.
Are you kidding me?
Oh,
I would live for it. Don't put this on me. I will do it.
Do we get tired of the moon in the night sky, Kevin? No, it's a miracle every night. Too
hey,
much.
Fewer examples from you,
hey, Lord Byron.
Came a little strong.
Do
there.
We get tired of the moon in the night sky, forsooth?
That's the lamest comparison
just saying,
ever.
Just take
something
it easy. Something that some people may take for granted. I think most of us still are marveled by.
Being the bard. Would a rose by any other name not smell as sweet, Kevin?
Maybe I don't get to write for Kevin Live.
No, you don't. I think it would be fascinating to show how a man, really, at the top of his profession, can barely generate enough brain power just to tie his shoes. Come on!
Kevin is a Hall of Famer, man.
Hall of Famer! Hall of Famer.
Still gets locked out of his own building about once a week.
Right. Just has pockets filled with just paper clips and rubber bands and frogs and yo-yos and $100 bills all smashed together. He's a phenomenon. He's a freak of nature. Just eats nothing but sugar.
A hell of a locker, though.
Same weight as he was in high school. It's just, it's weird. Someone should explore this. There should be some sort of scientific exploration. F. Pluto. Let's take pictures of this guy and see how this works.
I'm going to agree because I feel that will make this conversation end more quickly.
All right, then. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Cuban is 57 years old today. Wesley Snipes turns 53. J.K. Rowling celebrates her 50th birthday. Harry Potter's mom. Dean Cain's 49. Drummer Will Champion of Coldplay is 37 years old today. How's he not a private eye?
I don't know. Something with that name, man.
I'm Will Champion, P.I. She walked into my office. She had a pair of stems that you usually see on roses. She looked as out of place as a tarantula on a piece of angel's food cake. I knew she had problems. She gave me that eye. She only had one. The other one was glass. I mean, come on.
He's a drummer for Coldplay, though, Ralph.
Yeah, I know, but he should be a P.I. Okay. She quit that B.S. drum business and get into the private investigator business. BJ Novak is 36 years old today. M. Shadows, Avenged Sevenfold singer, is 34. Michael Bradley, soccer player, 28. And Rico Rodriguez, Manny from Modern Family, is 17 today. Nope.
Oh, what a shame.
You'd have it, but what do I know? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One of the most critical and commercial biggest hits of the summer of 2015 is a little film called Ant-Man. Before we talk to the director, Peyton Reed, give me a little of that Michael Douglas and Paul Rudd, would you please?
In the right hands, the relationship between man and suit is symbiotic. The suit has power. The man harnesses that power. You need to be skillful, agile, and above all, you need to be fast. You should be able to shrink and grow on a dime. So your size always suits your needs. Now dive through the keyhole, Scott. You charge big, you dive small, then you emerge big.
Yeah, it did not go well.
I love that Peyton Reed is on the phone to promote a movie that literally everyone in the world has already seen. Mr. Reed, welcome to the Kevin Beach on K-Rock, sir. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm good. How's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Ralph, you got an email last week that surprised you.
Yeah, well, we were talking about Ant-Man being the number one movie, not for 1 week, but for 2 weeks in a row. And Peyton reached out. Peyton and I had met because we did a little screening with K-Rock. We had the people together over at the IMAX Theater, and we did a little screening of the film. And then we had a little Q&A afterwards and had a good time. And he asked me if I was going to talk about the film to please do it as Edwin, which we were all surprised by. Somebody's still out there promoting the Edwin impression. God bless you, Peyton. I appreciate that.
Well, listen, you know, I think what Ralph is not telling you guys is that we have founded an Edwin fan club.
Oh,
who knew? This is something that we've had for many years, and Ralph, that's great. Like, oh, I just met Peyton at the screening. I get it that you have to do that, but I think it's okay to talk about.
He's a lifelong member
of Edwin. Yeah.
All right, we do go to the meetings every week. And
okay,
we know we have a secret handshake. Yeah.
Look,
oh my goodness! Yeah, put your hand in mine and shake it. Why don't you?
By the way, guys, we're screening a double feature of The Gnome-Mobile and That Darn Cat Monday night. If you guys can find our headquarters, we'd love to have you.
Peyton, I got to tell
nice
you.
Nice Gnome-Mobile reference, by the way.
I got to tell you, we've had many conversations where we go, what if nobody knows who Edwin is? Oh, it doesn't matter. It's a funny voice anyway.
Yeah.
We just gave up on trying to explain who it was.
Oh, no. But you got to keep Edwin alive. You know, people used to have those bumper stickers, tell your children about John Lennon. We have tell your kids about Ed Wynn bumper stickers.
Well, I think we're putting our eggs in the right basket with this one, guys. I think that's awesome.
So, Peyton, we were wondering, does it get boring after the first $100 million when you make $100 million on your motion picture? Now, is it all just downhill from there?
Well, it's just exhausting. it's ridiculous. Just the counting alone.
I'm sure.
No, it's exhilarating. I mean, it's exciting. Listen, we put out a movie called Ant-Man about a superhero who shrinks and controls ants.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a sure thing. I mean, you know, I almost did an Ed Wynn there.
Yes, you did. Oh, my goodness.
Do a thing. Listen, the Marvel movies are incredible, and we're the 12th Marvel movie. And there's all this talk about superhero fatigue and when are people going to, you know, are people going to get bored with superhero movies? Ant-Man, to me, was cool because the powers were just so different, and it's essentially a shrinking movie in some ways. It's really exciting because I was you just never know what's going to happen when you put a movie out.
Were there any other films in the Marvel movie universe that you looked at that in particular you had in mind when you were making Ant-Man, like you were inspired by or said, yeah, that's the kind of movie I want to make?
You know, I went back and looked at a bunch of the old shrinking movies, like, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Incredible Shrinking Man. I mean, really, I sort of thought about it as a science fiction comedy. And weirdly, I think Kevin Feige at Marvel and I are both huge Back to the Future fans. And one of the things we talked about was just that blend of science fiction, in that case time travel, and comedy, and making something that was really tightly constructed and really fun, but, you know, you buy the whole science fiction conceit. So, strangely, we talked about Back to the Future a lot.
What an important casting Paul Rudd was. He was so good.
Well, Rudd is Ant-Man, and not just the fact that he plays Ant-Man and was a writer on the movie as well. There's a lot of Paul in that movie just in terms of the attitude. And I think what makes it great is that Paul's type of comedy is very self-deprecating. And he's the kind of guy that, you know, if you talk to an average audience member and you're like, well Ant-Man, what does he do? He shrinks, he controls ants? What good is that going to do? Rudd's attitude as Scott Lang is exactly the attitude of the audience. He's as skeptical about it, you know, as the character, you know, as the audience is. And I think that's a really valuable thing for the movie.
And talking about casting, Peyton, Michael Pena, after we all saw the film, we were just talking about how he almost steals the movie. He's just that great in it.
Well, Pena is terrific. And, I mean, we all know he's an amazing dramatic actor, and you know, and some, you know, there are a couple of times he's done comedy. He was on Eastbound and Down, and he's you know, we felt he was somewhat untapped in terms of the comedy. But yeah, he just made everything 10 times better. He had a great chemistry with Paul, and he created this character that to me is. You're right. Yeah, certain times he threatens to walk off with the movie, but we expanded his role just because he was so great.
Ralph, tell Peyton Reed on the phone with us right now, director of the film Ant-Man in theaters now. Tell him about the first time you came on the Kevin Amin Show all those years ago when the early rumblings of the Ant-Man movie were starting to happen.
Yeah, when it was first announced initially when Edgar Wright was developing the project, I came to the boys and I said, this is great. We're finally going to get an Ant-Man movie. And they said, who's that? I said, he's a guy who shrinks down and he gets to control ants as well. And they almost laughed me out of the studio.
Like, that's the stupidest idea we've ever heard. And we just mocked him endlessly.
Yeah. Well, who's laughing now,
right.
Ralph? Come on.
I'll tell you who's laughing now. I am, don't you know? I love to laugh.
We were talking about a video a couple of days ago, Peyton, that's up online that it breaks down every scene in the movie and connects it to other movies and to the comics. It has all of the little Easter eggs and all of the little, like, super fan moments in the movie. Was that something that you were aware of and brought to at the time, or were people giving you a whole bunch of stuff that you had no idea that needed to be in the film?
Well, first of all, I have not seen this video. I've got to see this video. I have not seen this video.
All right.
In terms of how it plays into the larger Marvel universe, you know, there are definite things that we plant in this movie that, you know, hopefully, if we're fortunate enough to be able to do a sequel, that we'll follow up on. And then there's an amazing interconnectedness with these movies. That's what's cool about the movies, I think, is that they're their own individual things. Like, you can watch Ant-Man having never seen another Marvel movie and have a great time at the movies. But if you know those other movies, they're all these little Easter eggs and things. But no, the fans take it to this amazing level of nerddom, which I love because I was one of those guys and kind of still am. A lot of times I'll look up old Ed Wynn clips. No, I'm not
sure.
I love the passion that the Marvel fans have. You know, comparing it to the other movies, comparing it to, well, you know, Hank Pym in the comics would never do that. That's, you know, you have to face a lot of that, you know, going into
work. I think it helps, Peyton, as you mentioned, you are a geek yourself, and so I think your affection and a connection with the material really translates as well.
Oh, well, thanks. No, I really, you know, I was someone who, when I came in to meet on Ant-Man, could converse really to an excruciatingly painful level about, you know, the Hank Pym Ant-Man and the Scott Lang Ant-Man and all the different versions and things, and really did approach it as a fan in terms of what I would want to see in an Ant-Man movie.
Just like Kevin and Bean. I mean, really, you were there at the beginning, just
right.
like we were.
We supported it from the very beginning like. When Rob told us about
it. You son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm sure you had a list of things that you would want to
right.
see in an Ant-Man
That's
movie.
Of course,
said.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, listen, we're almost out of time here. Dave, our producer, is tweeting you the link to the Easter egg video so you can easily find that, Peyton, when we hang up
Excellent.
The phone. And the other thing I'll ask is, forgive me if this is a dumb question or everybody knows, are there going to be more Ant-Mans?
Well, you know, Paul, Ant-Man is going to appear in the next Captain America Civil War. He has a role in that. And then it remains to be seen officially whether we're doing a sequel or not. I think we're all really hopeful that we will be able to because, you know, those characters, there's a lot more story to tell with those characters. So, but nothing official yet.
Bean okay. and I are demanding a sequel.
Call Marvel. just lay it on the line with those guys. Tell them about the, you know, the history of your fandom.
That may not help.
No spoilers, but there are a couple scenes at the end. There are two bonus scenes at the end of the credits of Ant-Man, and one of them certainly would lend you to hope that there would be a further adventures of Ant-Man.
Absolutely. I like that. That was nice. there's definitely some things we set up at the end of the movie that really, hopefully, if you're a fan, you know, there's stuff you really want to see with those characters going forward.
Edwin, you get the final word.
Hopefully there'll be a sidekick role to Ant-Man. We can have it. Yes, oh my goodness. Yes, Ant-Man, let me hold your helmet for you.
It would be amazing to just do the most intricate CGI or prosthetic makeup on you
yes.
to make you look like Edwin.
Right. For no reason other than it makes you laugh.
I mean, we made Michael Douglas younger at the beginning of the movie.
That's
we can
right.
turn Ralph into Edwin.
Yeah,
let's do
lovely.
It.
Yes.
Love it. All right, Peyton, you're very cool to reach out. We really enjoyed talking to you. Congratulations on the success. We'll talk to you again, all right?
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. See you.
You bet. Take care. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 940.
One more look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday. Take us home, Ralph Garman.
Well, I'm still just celebrating the demise of Knock Knock Live. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough of the failure of Knock Knock Live. Think about it. First, Seacrest comes up with that game show inside an hourglass in Times Square.
Right. That made no sense.
That was just inexplicable. Stephen Hawking could not break down the rules of how that game was supposed to be played.
Yeah.
And America rejected it outright. Now, people knocking on your door giving away toasters or whatever they did on Knock Knock Live. No one's interested.
Now, let me ask you this question in the broader context of entertainment, Ralph, and that is that Ryan Seacrest is often compared to Dick Clark. He's a guy who just puts his fingerprints all over a bunch
the first
of different
half, right?
Right. It's not uncommon to have some shows that fail and then other shows like the Kardashians go off and become huge hits, right?
But
everybody's got a little bit of failure. His failures are just so spectacularly awful. Is that why you point him out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And really, what's he batting?
What's his batting average?
American Idol wasn't him. He was just he benefited off of just
right. He was just a haircut,
lightning in a bottle.
Right.
Kardashians. That's
huge
legit.
Hit.
That's a legitimate
him, right?
hit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what else? What else are we talking about?
Does he have that Sunset Strip, Shaws of the Sunset Strip, whatever that show is?
I don't know if that's one of his.
I think.
I guess I don't know enough about his career really to speak to this, but Knock Knock Live.
He's making awful TV. We do know that.
I just know Knock Knock Live.
Is Knock Knock dead?
Oh, no, you did! You know, Mia Farrow, the actress Mia Farrow?
Sure.
She is in trouble with some people. And this is the thing. You get knee-jerk reactions from people on social media in all cases, all the time. First, there was the douchebag who killed Cecil the Lion.
Right.
Cecil the Lion. horrible, hideous thing that happened. So then everybody on social media decided to go after this guy. And rightly so. He did a hideous thing.
Right.
But then some people, they say, went too far. Mia Farrow posted his address on Twitter.
Home address?
No. See, here's the thing. Posted his address on Twitter, which was the address of his dentistry, which you could find by looking it up on Yelp, for God's sakes. But she posted it on Twitter. She said, here's where he is. And then everybody went ballistic and saying that she should be, she's trying to start a mob and she should, that Donald Trump should give out your phone number, Mia Farrow, and you should be suspended. But, and every people started to say that she was posting his home address, which she never really did. But now there's an outcry saying Mia Farrow has overstepped her bounds and she should be prosecuted for this. So it's like, it's a constant. It's like solar flares, just people just blowing up on social media all the time. There's no reason, there's no reasonable reaction anymore to anything.
It's zero or 100.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything pins the red and then disappears. I guess that's the news cycle that we live in, right? Everything's white hot for a minute and then you just never hear about it again. But so those of you who heard that Mia Farrow posted this guy's home address on Twitter, it was, in fact, the address of his dentistry, which was public information, and everybody could have gotten it if they wanted to. She just went the next step and put it on Twitter saying, here he is.
And a lot of other people did, too, by the way.
Yes, right.
A lot of people were like, hey, contact this guy and let him know how you feel about what he did. Not that they were inciting violence or trying to get a riot going. They just wanted people to know where to send their letters.
Right. But Mia Farrow being an actress with a certain profile, she got the lion's share of attention.
Oh, whoa!
No idea.
Woo! Where's the outrage there?
Right? Where's the outrage over that joke? Juliana Rancic, as I've reported before, is leaving E! News. Her mothership has arrived, and they're going to beam her back to her home planet.
Oh, that's great news for her.
Yes, I'm glad she Juliana phone home. They've just announced her replacement, Maria Menounos, will be taking... I don't need to hear that noise ever again.
Never, ever, right?
Will be taking over so on E! News when she takes off on August the 10th.
I was so sad when she got killed in Sharknado. There's a lot of sighing going on.
Deep sighs.
Yeah.
Just a lot of deep sighs.
Mm-hmm.
And good news if you're a Mad Men fan rather, you can now own a little piece of that TV series. There is a website called ScreenBid.com. It's an auction website that specializes in movie and TV props and costumes. They are auctioning off 1,400 items from the Mad Men set, now available for auction. Everything from Joan's handbags to Don's cufflinks to cocktail glasses and decanters used on the set. Props from all the desks of everybody who worked there, the advertising agency. Lots of cool things. If you're interested, you can go there and buy yourself a little piece of Mad Men, because a lot of us are still mourning the loss of that TV series. I know I'm one of them.
Not interested.
Come on, Kevin. Have a heart.
And what about Joan's handbags?
Jeez.
Right?
What just happened?
Nothing. Move on.
Nothing to see here.
Do I need to understand what happened or just
ignore
it? I'm
trying to make a reference to her breast, but it's a handbag and that's the...
No.
Just no.
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 No. No.
Here, I'll get you back. I'll get Bean back for
Please.
You.
Okay.
It's new release day. New music is being released today on Friday now. Now,
Furious.
All of the new music is released on Friday now.
Bean off the air was just really talking like his life is now ruined.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Oh, no.
No. This is a colossal disaster.
It is.
It's not.
You
CDs
guys don't know.
Released on Fridays. That's all that happens.
And that's not good for me at all.
But it's, you know what it's not? That's what ruined your life.
It's a colossal disaster. Like this past Tuesday, I go to IHOP and then there's no Best Buy. What? What the F? Come on. Now what am I supposed to do? Drive all the way back down there on a Friday?
I think what people expect you to do is just adapt.
Right.
Because everyone else is.
Just go to Best Buy another day and buy the music.
I don't like it.
Well, I don't think anyone cares.
Here's what you can pick up. Joss Stone has a new CD. I haven't heard from her in a while. I love Joss Stone. Water for Your Soul is the name
Very
of her
talented.
New CD. She's beautiful and talented and a great singer, great actress, too. Remember, you ever watch The Tudors over on Showtime?
No, I never saw that.
Loved that series. She played one of Henry's wives on that show, and she was terrific. Elbow has a new EP. You all right?
Yeah. I love Elbo.
Lost Worker Bee is the name of their new EP. Albert Hammond Jr., Momentary Masters, and Insane Clown Posse has a new CD out called Marvelous Missing Link. So that's your new music. Those are your choices. And speaking of music, the Foo Fighters were honored in Italy this week. There was a band of 1,000 rock and roll musicians and singers who all got together on a big field to film a video of them all performing Learn to Fly together. It happened in Cesena, Italy. And they banded together in the hopes of attracting the attention of Foo Fighters, perhaps getting the band to play their small town in Italy. Here is a little of that video. You can find it online. You can find it on krock.com, as a matter of fact. 1,000 Italian rock and rollers gathering together to play Learn to Fly by Foo Fighters. They are not good.
They're not good.
They are not a good band.
But they're in unison.
They are.
I like that.
How awesome is that?
I first clicked on that link and I was like, oh no, 1,000 people doing a song. This is not. And it was amazing.
Honest question, you guys?
It's unlike you to like something outright, Kevin, without, without investigating further
Thank
and learning something about it.
Good
I'm
point.
Surprised you would just write that off immediately without knowing anything about it. It's so unlike you.
How dare you?
Did any of you tear up a little?
No.
Okay.
No.
No.
Really?
I mean, I thought it was neat.
It was cool.
I enjoyed.
Got a little goosebumpy.
Yeah, goosebumps.
Yeah, because
but
they were having such a great time.
I didn't
cry
faces.
Like a mental patient, though.
Okay.
I think Allie at all times is so close to a breakdown.
I think you're right. She's right on the precipice.
Just anything.
It was so beautiful to
over.
See people come together and genuinely enjoy it so much.
Yeah, they were
and then
so happy.
They'd show the kid and he was playing the guitar.
Yeah, okay.
And it just, I thought it was so beautiful. It brought
it
me to tears. Also mental.
She's sitting there in her car. Just in her rolling house, just bawling, tearing, starting a little screen on her phone.
She has to pull over.
Look at these people. They have joy. What's that like?
I miss
What's
joy.
That feeling?
It would be fun one day to take calls from other, for listeners of the show who cry every day like Allie cries every day. Like, what's that like to know that you're going to cry every single day you wake up?
And what's your tissue bill? How much money is spent on that every month? Anyway, their plan came to fruition. The Foo Fighters did pay attention. They responded earlier on Twitter by saying, "C'è bello, Cesena," which translates to, how lovely, how nice, Cesena. And then Dave sent out the following tweet just this morning. "Ci vediamo a presto, Cesena."
Now he's showing off.
"David," which means see you soon, David, seems to confirm that the Foo Fighters indeed plan to play the small town of Cesena and celebrate those guys. Here's the thing. Get those 1,000 people and have them play the Super Bowl halftime show.
That'd be awesome.
Yes.
Just have them fill whatever.
That would be awesome.
Fill the entire 100 yards of the football field and just have them do covers of great, great songs. And just have them crush it. And then Allie will just bawl, just cry the entire halftime show.
I'm going to be crying during the Super Bowl anyway.
Cry right in your Doritos. Today's celebrity birthdays, these people were born. Sorry, had to fire. I had to find my list. Mark Cuban, 57. Wesley Snipes.
I'm sorry, who?
Wesley for Snipes. You heard him.
Oh, all right.
J.K. Rowling's 50. D. Kane is 49. Will Champion, 37 years old today. Drummer for Coldplay. B.J. Novak is 36. M. Shadows, Avenged Sevenfold singer, 34 years old. Michael Bradley, the soccer player, is 28. Enrico Rodriguez plays Manny on Modern Family, 17 years old today.
It's like I have Manny so much in me now. Like, I've been with him for a year already, so it's like he's in me now, so, like, I can't, like, push him out of me. Like, it just comes out unexpectedly.
That's a little Rico. We talked to him in the very first season of Modern Family.
We sure did.
Sounds pretty creepy now.
When he was a little tiny kid.
He was like 12. He was like 11 or 12 there. Now he's 17. Now he's a man. And he's still pushing Manny out of him.
Yeah, I'm Manny.
I got Manny inside me. I got so much Manny inside me, so I gotta push it out sometimes.
Make love to my buttocks, Manny.
Right, Kevin?
Right.
You always say.
That's what I've always said.
You got some Manny in you, too, apparently.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Don't hit that button yet, because I know.
God damn it.
Wet Hot American Summer, as you know, is available on Netflix today, first day of camp.
Whatever.
We talked to Michael Showalter this morning, and he was fun, and the series looks great. But here's a special event that Beer Mug is going to be at, along with our own K-Rox Lightning and the K-Rox promo crew.
They're going to be their shoes.
They are going to be in Venice tonight from 6 until 9 at the Brig on Abbot Kinney. Everyone knows where that is, right? 6 to 9, you go on by. The Wet Hot American Summer bus is going to be there. They're going to be playing all sorts of camp games. They're giving away lots of cool stuff, including a new Sony 4K UHD TV. Get the details at KROQ.com. But tonight in Venice, look for Beer Mug and Lightning.
Also want to mention our charity, Friends and Helpers, .org, having our back-to-school event tomorrow.
So it's tonight at the Improv on Melrose, Hollywood Babylon. Me and Kevin Smith are doing our show. We'd love to have you come out. Go to improv.com. Get tickets.
I will be crying in my car a little later today. Catch me in a parking lot near you.
I have Dave and Christine coming to visit. We're going to have a little food, and then the kids will have to sleep on the porch outside.
Have fun working, suckers!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Zoom, zoom.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's great goddamn radio.
Roll another one.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Just like the other one.
I suck. Donkey.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, yeah.
And I need another hit.
Don't hang up on me. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me? And I will. So just listen to me. Listen to what you do to me.
Roll.
Roll.
Did somebody order a hooker over here?
I don't have another cent.
That song is so awesome and catchy. My buddy Randy, that's his favorite song.
You need to go to Rent-A-Wheel.
Rent-A-Wheel. Just pass it around.
What the hell is wrong with you, black man?
You, sir, have reached the end of the line. The joyride is over.
What is my course of action?
A quick departure seems a very good choice.
Are you sure there is no other solution?
None whatsoever. Goodbye.
Then I will go.
Feel safe? Not even a little bit.
No.
You got a plan? Run! Run!
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Anyway, I'm out of here. I'm going to drive up the street and see all those buildings that are for lease. A lot of them. Good night. Sleep tight.